I'm probably quite relieved at that. Congratulations on those figures. You're almost
Nibbler,
there.
Yeah, and thank you very much. And Samantha Nibbler is getting us talking about sex education.
Final tribute to the NHS staff who've got you to those figures that you told us about today.
100%, Nick. Lots done. Lots more to do. The NHS is on the road to recovery. We've got our foot down on the accelerator. And, you know, I'm not going to stop until we get there. But thanks to all of the staff who've worked really hard to get these results out today.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Well done to you and all your colleagues. I'm done. James O'Brien, as Mr. Streeting rightly references the other side of the news. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock. And do you know, I was listening to Wes Streeting talking to Nick, and I was wondering what I would ask if I were to ring into the programme. And there's a story in the news today that speaks to something I only really discovered as a consequence of doing this weird job for a living. And it is a story about the length of life that you can expect, not just in years, but in terms of quality of life as well. The number of good years or healthy years you will live if you are born into a wealthy area of this country compared to how long you will live a good life if you're born into one of the poorest areas. And the figure, frankly, is unbelievable.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, senior executives from social media companies are being summoned to Downing Street for online safety talks today. Bosses from the likes of YouTube, TikTok and Snapchat will be challenged on the action to restrict social media access for under-16s. Ahead of the meeting, Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC there will be stark consequences if firms don't step up efforts. Campaigner Ellen Room has told LBC that there's a danger the issue could turn into talks and no action.
And how many times do you have to keep talking about the subject? I mean, it goes on and on and on about a consultation and all the things that they keep saying, well, we need to look at doing more, actually do something. I just get so frustrated with this continuous talk of consultations and things, you know, like delaying the hours that a child can be on the site. They can still see harm within that time. We need to step up and actually take some leadership and protect the children that are on the platforms.
The Prime Minister has written exclusively for LBC ahead of that summit. You can read more on the LBC app. It's understood the UK could see shortages of chicken and pork if the war in Iran continues into the summer. Government officials have reportedly been drawing up contingency plans for a reasonable worst-case scenario. Last month, the head of the NHS in England warned that if medicine supplies could be disrupted if the conflict continues past July. Speaking to Nick Ferrari on LBC's Call the Cabinet this morning, the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, ruled out the potential of drug rationing.
As we sit here today, we're confident about our supply chains and our resilience. Okay. We know that our planning and works when it hits the real world.
So lastly on this, can you rule out drug rationing?
Yes, at this stage, absolutely.
And fuel rationing could be, and if so, were the ambulances are catered?
Well, we'd obviously prioritise ambulances, right. But just to reassure people, Nick, we are a long way from that.
Health Secretary also denied claims that he's sabotaging the NHS by removing extra training places for resident doctors in England. Members of the British Medical Association recently finished 6 days of walkouts over their long-running row over jobs and pay. Before the walkout, the government retracted its offer for extra places because no agreement was reached. Wes Streeting told LBC this morning that he is prepared to reinstate that offer if officials return to mediation talks. Submerged, an average of 3 prisoners a week were freed by mistake in England and Wales over the past year. Ministry of Justice data released today suggests 179 inmates were released in error between April 2025 and March 2026. And the UK economy grew by 0.5% in February, according to official data. A previous estimate of no growth in January has been revised up to 0.1%. The data doesn't show the impact of the Iran war, which started on the last day of February. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 13 at 10,573. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK through Thursday. Some heavy downpours in the north, a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compesa Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with the Compesa Market app. The simplest way to save.
When you take out a qualifying product to Compesa Market, one membership per year, participating cinemas, two standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Four minutes after 10 is the time. A very good morning indeed to you. I never notice while it's happening. I only notice when it's over. But we seem to have moved out of that period where it felt as though it would be inappropriate to talk about anything other than the war in Iran. A similar thing happened with Ukraine, albeit that that is an entirely different war, an entirely different type of war. But it's just worth noting, isn't it? I mean, there haven't been any major developments. Obviously, the fact that both sides are far from trustworthy, but one side is prone to contradict itself within minutes of opening its mouth. And incredibly, that's the side that we still consider to be our allies. But in terms of that sense I had, and I shared it with you a few times, I'd say to Eleanor some mornings at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I said, it's going to sound a bit odd if we start talking about shoplifting, isn't it? Having just sort of spent an hour examining the likelihood of World War III starting soon, or questions about whether the United States of America is currently undergoing its own Suez, its own sort of abandonment of the top seat at top table when it comes to international relations, questions about whether or not Donald Trump has finally entirely lost touch with sanity, talking about whether or not the most powerful man on the planet is entirely unfit for purpose. And now we're going to talk, I mean, we never actually talk about parking tickets on this program because it is always an unrelentingly dull conversation, ditto speeding tickets. But moving on to, shall we say, more quotidian, is that the right way to pronounce the word? More ordinary territory, more normal, more common or garden territory, felt odd. And suddenly it doesn't feel odd today. I don't know why. And I just thought I'd mention it to you because we will probably return. Here's an example. Lebanon has revealed that it is unaware of Israel talks, which kind of sums up what I was just trying to say to you about not being able to get a clear bead on anything from anyone at the moment. So talks ongoing with Israel, according to President Trump, and Lebanon have said that they're unaware of any talks that they are scheduled to attend. And there it is. I mean, that's possibly why we're not talking about it, he says, as he starts talking about it and feels that weird awakening of interest, because once again, we're looking at a scenario that just two short years ago would have been entirely unthinkable. The White House announces that Israel and Lebanon are having talks today, and Lebanon says that's news to us. It's 7 minutes after 10, and the world is still bonkers, which is why perhaps it's nice to return attention to more manageable matters, albeit, in this case, genuinely heartbreaking. Right, one of my favourite things to do with you, matron, is to say a word and just wonder what it does in your brain. When you hear a word, what does it conjure up? Either, you know, a mental image, possibly sometimes even a physical response, but most often a mental image, an idea, a reaction. It'll be partly an intellectual reaction, as in your brain will respond to whatever that word is, and it might be partly an emotional reaction, as in the word or the phrase will trigger feelings inside you. I'm going to say a word, and I just want you to take a moment, if you can, to sort of run it around your mouth, you know, if it were wine. I interviewed the wonderful, wonderful man, Mark Constantine, who owns Lush, runs Lush, the high street. What would you call it, really? It's sort of a toilet trees and so much more, really. And he has synesthesia. And so does Sheila Fogarty, as she's told you in the past. And this means that you see one sense responds to something that, for people who haven't got synesthesia, an entirely different sense would respond. So with him, it's often smell. It's why he's such a gifted perfumier. But he would, I'd ask him about a period, and I realised this halfway through the interview, that he would express himself through the medium of smell. So he'd be talking about a period in his life, and I halfway through the interview, I found myself saying, well, what does it smell like? Because I'm quite good with words. I can express myself quite well with words. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, because it means that you don't have to tamp down or store up your feelings. If you can express your feelings in any way, whether it's through music or through words or through smell, it just frees you from being a sort of hostage to your own emotions. But he uses smell. I've been thinking about it ever since, because it's such a fascinating phenomenon. And so that's why I use the phrase, just roll it around your mouth like you would a glass of wine, a taste of wine, or a particularly delicious date or something like that. Because the word I want you to just think about for a minute is privilege. Privilege. What does that word mean to you? What do you see? You might see a picture of Lord Snooty if you were reading the Beano. Not too long ago, you might think of somebody like Jacob Rees-Mogg, or you might think of somebody you know who was born 3-0 up and thought they'd scored a hat trick. Martin was here yesterday. Martin Lewis was in the studio yesterday, and one of the things I've always loved about Martin is his acknowledgement of the role that luck has played in his life. Not to downplay, and he doesn't, the incredible amounts of hard work and effort and insight that has brought his career to such an extraordinary place. But he always, always stresses luck. It's the basis of the "there but for the grace of God go I" dictum, isn't it? And the people who don't have that, who don't understand that they're privileged, are sometimes the most dangerous and unsympathetic people in the world. So I love that phrase so much. Born on third base and they think they've scored a triple if you're American, or born 3-0 up and they think they've scored a hat trick if you're British. Privilege. What is privilege to you? One of the strangest things about privilege is that it is often invisible, and it's more invisible to the people what have got it than it is to the people what have not. If you are looking up the ladder of life, you're going to see privilege, I think, a lot more clearly than people who are several rungs above you on the ladder, because they think not only that that's perfectly normal, but also that if it does involve some sort of advantage over others, it's an advantage that is entirely deserved. An advantage that is entirely deserved. And it isn't. That's because it's luck. It's serendipity. Serendipity is also one of my favourite words. And when I started doing this job, I don't think I was particularly conscious of all the privilege that I've had in my life. I knew I'd been to a posh school, and I knew that I was blessed with some skills that are happily transferable into the media marketplace. I needed no lessons on how lucky I was to have married the woman that I married, but I don't know even then, in the early days of our marriage, that I fully appreciated just how lucky I was even to have met her. And that's privilege that is not born of wealth or income or education, you know, falling in love, meeting an incredible person. But you're privileged if you've had a secure upbringing which makes you emotionally literate enough to sustain a meaningful relationship. You can manage, for example, fidelity. Is that a privilege? Is that something that's learned, something that's taught? I don't know. White privilege was a phrase I'd never heard when I started doing this show. But I understand it a lot better now. Of course, it's easily corrupted, isn't it? You can say to somebody who is white and deeply underprivileged that they are being pushed to the side in order to promote the interests of black people, which is not, of course, what happens. But the phrase white privilege can be deliberately misinterpreted and misused to create that idea of resentment in the minds of underprivileged white people. All it really means, white privilege, in its purest moment, is that you're never going to be a victim in a society like ours of blatant or implicit massive discrimination. You're just not. And you don't know what it's like to grow up knowing that there are people who may never say it out loud, but who will look at you askance as a direct consequence. They will look at you differently because you're black than they would do if you were white. That's it. That's all it is. Privilege. What are you thinking of? some lovely answers coming in. I'll share some of them after the break. But I want that word to stay in your mind, okay? And then I suppose the other word is deprivation. And when I say deprivation, what do you see? Oliver Twist? I mean, this is England? Genuine poverty? Benefit Street? The TV show? Of course, this is me demonstrating my privilege, because all of my examples of deprivation have come from either fiction or reality television. I have never lived with or in deprivation. Therefore, for me, as someone who has privilege, I look down the ladder towards deprivation and can see things that are out of the ordinary, but for the people living there, they would be entirely ordinary. What is deprivation? Running out of money before the end of the month has always struck me as something that must be absolutely, absolutely exhausting. Having to watch as you do the weekly shop, very, very close. Having to put things back when you get to the till. Not being able to give your children clothes that fit properly or food that serves the purpose that food is supposed to serve. I don't know. What does deprivation mean? It doesn't mean I can't afford a holiday. It means I can't afford the basics. To me, it does. But I have, apart from what you have told me over the years, I have absolutely no knowledge or understanding of deprivation that could be described as firsthand. And I think that's why, when I read a story like the one that is published by the Office of National Statistics today, I feel a curious mixture of, well, curiosity and horror, or heartbreak, at least. I just don't get it. It's funny, I turned a page in my newspaper this morning from a story about Elon Musk potentially becoming the most powerful human in the history of our planet by dint of launching a bunch of satellites. He's already, of course, depending on what day of the week it is, he's already the richest man in the world. Possibly what? By some measures, if you're the richest man in the world today, you're the richest man that has ever lived. It felt to me really odd, but also pertinent, that I turned the page from a story about somebody who has so much money that since the time we came on air this morning, his fortune will have grown more than we will ever make in our lifetimes. Even if I don't know, I haven't got the maths to say, if we put all of our incomes together, would we have made as much by the end of this programme as Elon Musk would have done single-handedly just by sitting there watching his own fortune grow. But I turn a page from a contemplation of wealth that is almost inconceivable, incomprehensible, impenetrable to normal people like us. And then I turn to a story about people living in the wealthiest areas, a story about England in 2026. And I mention England because that's where the research is focused, but we can broaden it out to the whole United Kingdom. Of course we can. People living in the wealthiest areas can expect how many more years of healthy life than those living in the most deprived areas, do you think? Healthy life, so good living. What do you think? How many years? 5 years? So, I don't currently live in one of the most affluent parts of England, but I have done until about 4 years ago, and I live smack in between Chiswick and Richmond, which is absolutely at the top of the list. So let's use me as someone who lives in a privileged area. I live in a very privileged area in a non-privileged town, if you like. I will live, how many, and you live, let's say, for the purpose of this discussion, you live in a deprived area of town. How much longer, how many more healthy years of life will I have on average than you? 5 years more? Could you imagine that? 2026? Got more advancement, technological access, freedom, food than at any other point in human history, and I'm going to have 5 whole years of healthy living more than you are in a deprived part of town? No, it's not 5. 10 years. 10 more years of life. I get born into a life that will contain 10 more healthy years. No, it's not 10 years. You're born in a poor part of town. I'm born in a privileged, wealthy part of town. And I will have 15 more healthy years than you do. Except it's not 15 either. It's 20. In the United Kingdom, in 2026, you are gifted 20 years more of good living, of healthy years, than if you're born in a wealthy part of town than if you are born in a poorer part of town. And all I want you to tell me today is why. Because if you're at the top of the ladder, you don't understand why, because you've got no idea what it's like at the bottom of the ladder. And if you're at the bottom of the ladder, you don't really understand why, because you've no idea what it's like at the top of the ladder. But somehow, between those two positions, we'll learn from each other today. Why? So what do you think a privileged person doesn't understand about why deprivation would shorten your life? Or make you less healthy? 03456060973. And if you are a privileged person, what do you think a deprived person may not understand about why you are? All right, I've started, don't laugh, all right, especially you, Keith. I've started going to yoga, right? I'm loving my yoga at the moment, really loving it. Very surprised to love it so much, because normally my brain goes fizzing and flying around the room and I'm supposed to be sitting there going, but for some reason, at this stage in my life, I'm getting into yoga. That's probably going to give me another couple of good years, right? Be good for my heart, it's good for my health, it's good for my muscles. I'm doing a bit of yoga. Now, I'm paying money to do yoga in an extraordinarily middle-class environment with sort of gongs and candles and a teacher and stuff like that. But I could just lie on my sitting room floor and do some yoga, but I don't, and I wouldn't. And that somehow speaks to privilege versus deprivation. It's not just about access to something. We might all have access to something. It's about ease of access. But what? What is it? 03456060973. Why does being born in a wealthy part of this country gift you 20 more healthy years of life than you'll get if you're born in a poor part? Okay, 03456060973. What would a privileged person not understand about a life of difficulty? A deprivation seems like a big word, but it's the word that we're going to use. What are the biggest factors, do you think, in this 20-year gap? And what would a poorer person not understand about a life they will never live? What is it that they would be perhaps surprised or shocked to discover that their life would be like had the cards fallen differently at the moment of their birth? It's 21 minutes after 10. 03456060973 is the number that you need.
LBC.
Right, home from work. Walk the dog. Kids are back.
Mom!
Up the stairs for something. Ugh, back down. No idea what I went up for.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Chop. Sizzle. Done.
HelloFresh can't slow life down, but it makes bringing everyone together around the table a whole lot easier. So it's phones down, forks up. HelloFresh. Bring back dinner time. Hello.
With Amex Platinum, Laura earns points on...
Can I have the soup and the salad and the tart?
And gets access to the Centurion Airport Lounge too.
Let's have a little relax, a little pudding.
And could use your points to travel for...
Las gambas con mantequilla y...
And that's because with dining, travel and lifestyle benefits, there's always more with Amex Platinum.
Representative 685.3% APR variable. Annual fee. Terms apply. 18 plus. Subject to approval. Rates may vary.
I've just had a thought. My home needs to feel less student with one teaspoon and more a home that actually feels like me.
Sounds like a job for Wayfair.
Exactly. I'm thinking of that one statement piece that changes the whole room, or maybe just those perfect finishing touches that pull it all together.
With furniture and decor for every style and budget, Wayfair turns your home dreams into reality. So why wait to create the home you really love? Get it out of your head and into your home. Download the Wayfair app.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 03456060973.
23 minutes after 10 is the time. I suppose first principles, Gareth says, James, I think you need to define deprivation. It's certainly not only about money lasting to the end of the month. I mean, respectfully, Gareth, this is what the phone-in is for. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. In a way, I'm trying to define deprivation and define privilege in a way that will explain or help us all understand why having privilege gifts you 20 more years of healthy life than being born into deprivation does. And I think in answering that question, you will get the definitions of privilege and deprivation that I've tried to start the process of articulating, but I'm not claiming to have finished. Yeah, you do it, Gay. You tell me what deprivation means. Clever clogs. 24 after 10 is the time. Mo is in Ealing. Mo, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Hello.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
You're my spiritual guide.
Stop it.
I live up the road from you in Ealing.
You do.
If you ever want to meet me at the Grove, I will buy you Sunday lunch.
Sounds like you're calling me out for a fight there, Mo.
No, I will buy you Sunday lunch if you ever want to meet me at the Grove.
Thank you, mate.
So, anyway, living in Ealing, W52, you know the area.
I do.
I'm pretty sure you know it very well, those huge houses, all the rest of that, right?
Yes.
Getting a GP appointment in that area is so easy, I cannot tell you. Now, I come from similar stock as you. I come from the West Midlands, from Birmingham, working class. My wife's from Wolverhampton. When I was up there, we used to have
just for any new listeners to the programme, Mo's not suggesting I'm working class. This is a geographical connection
thing,
that we have. I went to public school. Carry on, Mo.
Yes. So, effectively, we used to have to fight each other to get a GP appointment. I know it's trivial.
Yeah, no, it's not. Of course, it's not.
In the morning, bang on, and you know, you used to have to try and get in that queue first just to get that appointment for the day. I email my GP now.
Yeah,
I've been talking to him on whatever. My GP doesn't ask me to sit around. I took my wife to my GP surgery for the first time after we got married. There was nobody sitting in there. I went in on time. I got seen on time. I didn't have to wait around. You know, it's just the access to services and being in a area like that where you're not living on top of each other. The infrastructure is there. There's a dentist across the road. All of those kind of facilities, services, infrastructure, so on and so forth, is pretty much available to you. So,
do we know why?
In Birmingham,
do we know why? Because to stress, you're in a position to make this comparison, and I, as I've been at great pains to point out this morning, I simply am not. But do we know why that is? I presume the statistics are there to show that areas have X number of people per GP and that the ratio is going to be much, much lower in wealthier parts than it is in poorer parts. But how has that come about?
That is essentially all I can put it down to.
But how has that come about?
A street with 100 terrace houses.
Yes, exactly.
Street like Park Hill that's got seven huge houses on there, and it's just as long as any other terrace street in, I don't know, sort of a poorer, deprived area of part of Brent or something.
Yeah.
You know, you've got access to those services. The amount of green space, you know yourself, in W5 that we've got available to us, it's insane compared to, you know.
I'm in TW8, mate. Don't you go W5ing me. I mean, I'm TW8 all day long.
But I think you can make that comparison. You know where I'm coming from.
Of course
from.
I do. Yes.
We can see abundantly in places like that, basically. But here's my gripe with Ealing at the moment. They did not sweep up all the leaves from last autumn.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to complain about.
That's a really good point.
If I go back to my mum and dad's, they've got so much to complain about because of the area that they live in.
Yeah. So, and that's it. I mean, you've got to be like you to make the contribution that you've just made. You've got to actually almost move from one extreme to the other. It's not enough to move in the margins, as many of us have done. And you know, we might have lived in some poorer parts of town when we were students or something like that, but we're tourists. In fact, speaking of being a student, Fraser cited that brilliant Pulp song, Common People, and the lyric, "If you called your dad, he could end it all." As in, whatever you're suffering, whatever deprivation you are suffering, if you come from a background like mine, you could call your dad when he was still with us and he would send you some money. He would end it all. Whereas a life lived without that safety net, without that bat phone, as it were, or you know, things are bad, I can get help. There you go. I mean, Mo makes a brilliant point about GPs and doctors. Thank you, Mo, and thank you for the kind words as well. I do appreciate them. But it triggers in my mind a thought of safety nets. I have no idea what it would be like not to have one. right? So growing up, however bad things got and however much trouble I got into, or however, quote, skint, end quotes, I thought I was, I would always be able to phone home for help. I didn't do it very often, but on the night before my wedding, I realised that I'd done my sums wrong and I was £1,000 short on the money that I would need to pay the next day to various caterers and entertainers and suppliers. And I was down to brass farthings. I mean, I was literally emptying my current account. I paid for the wedding, I paid for the honeymoon. We had paid for the wedding. We had paid for the honeymoon, all of that. And I was £1,000 short. I'd done a sum wrong. I'd put the figure in the wrong column. And so I phoned my dad. I said, can you give me £1,000 until I get sorted after I get back from honeymoon? And he did. And that is an enormous privilege. How many people listening to this program could make a phone call now to someone they care for or cares for them, someone they love, could make a phone call now to a family member or, I suppose, a friend, and just say, I need a grand until the end of next month. Can you help me out? There's an extraordinary book by Tom Wolfe called A Man in Full. It's not his most famous book. His most famous book is Bonfire of the Vanities. But there's a pivotal point in A Man in Full when one of the protagonist's cars, he's unemployed and he's gone for a job interview, and his car gets nudged by another vehicle, a bigger vehicle, out of the space in which he's parked it. And it gets nudged into just a zone where it will get ticketed. Enough of the car is poking over the line of the parking space. He gets a ticket and he gets towed, and he can't afford to get his car back. And his entire life unravels from that point. He's at a job interview. His car, through no fault of his own, gets towed away, and he hasn't got the ready money to get his car out of that pound. And from that point on, his life unravels. That's what it's like when you haven't got someone at the end of the phone who could lend you $500 or £1,000 until the end of next month. That shortens your life. Living with that shortens your life. And the reason why I began by asking you to roll the word privilege around your mouth is that if you, like me, have that option, you've no idea, no idea what it's like not to have it. So, safety net, a social safety net provided by loved ones, provided by privilege. Medical access, more on that, please. Build on what Mo has told us, because that's in some ways the most obvious, but also the most important factor of this, simply getting help when you need it. 0345 6060973. Why do people born in poor parts of this country have 20 fewer good and healthy years than people born in wealthy parts? 0345 6060973. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
The Prime Minister has told LBC there is an overwhelming case for social media firms to go further to tighten protections for children online. Executives from the likes of YouTube and Snapchat have met Sir Keir Starmer for talks at Downing Street this morning. The Health Secretary has denied suggestions that the UK will have to ration food, fuel and medicines if the war in Iran continues into the summer. Speaking to LBC, Wes Streeting admitted that worst-case scenario planning is underway, but the UK's supply chains remain robust. Wes Streeting also refused to rule out on LBC an end to resident doctor strikes in England by next year, but he told LBC's call the Cabinet that he will reinstate an offer for extra training places if the BMA returns to talks. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK. Some heavy downpours in the north, a high of 16 degrees.
This is LBC.
Experience electric performance like never before with Polestar Maidstone at Lipscomb. Discover bold Scandinavian design, cutting-edge technology, and a drive that's as powerful as it is refined. For a limited time, enjoy exceptional value with 0% finance across the Polestar 2, Polestar 3 and Polestar 4, and savings of up to £5,000. Visit lipscomb.co.uk to explore the range and book your test drive. Make the switch to electric with confidence at Polestar Maidstone at Lipscomb and drive the future today. Offer ends 30th of June. No minimum deposit required. T's and C's apply.
Need anything from Tesco? Like a Nestle Milky Bar 2-pack dessert. Now just 75p, down from £2.
Club card accepted.
Because every little helps. Majority of larger stores ends 21st of April. Club card or app required.
I've just had a thought. My home needs to feel less student with one teaspoon and more a home that actually feels like me.
Sounds like a job for Wayfair.
Exactly. I'm thinking of that one statement piece that changes the whole room, or maybe just those perfect finishing touches that pull it all together.
With furniture and decor for every style and budget, Wayfair turns your home dreams into reality. So why wait to create the home you really love? Get it out of your head and into your home. Download the Wayfair app.
With Amex Platinum, Laura earns points on...
Can I have the soup and the salad and the tart?
And gets access to the Centurion Airport Lounge too.
Let's have a little relax, a little pudding.
And could use her points to travel for...
Las gambas con mantequilla y...
And that's because with dining, travel and lifestyle benefits, there's always more with Amex Platinum.
Representative 685.3% APR variable. Annual fee, terms apply, 18 plus. Subject to approval. Rates may vary.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
10:34 is the time. A little more on that conversation you heard reported in the news there between our political editor, Natasha Clark, and Sir Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, that took place earlier this morning. Natasha will join us in about 15 minutes or so, maybe a little less, so don't miss that. Mystery Hour on the way at 12, of course, which is nice. And in the next hour, at the moment, almost as a sort of reiteration of that observation about a pause button having been pressed with regards to the madness in the White House and the war in the Middle East, I am probably going to turn your attention back to shoplifting, not just for the reasons that I shared with you yesterday, but also because some statistics have been published today that propel it once again to the forefront of the national interest. But speaking of the national interest, we are trying to pin down, in a way, I probably haven't explained this brilliantly, but in a way that involves one tribe in this country talking to another tribe and answering the question almost from a position of knowledge that the other tribe won't have. Why would being born into affluence give you 20 more healthy years of life than being born into relative poverty? Why? And how can it still be the case in 2026 when there is objectively so much comfort and luxury and privilege and money swilling around the place? Janice is in Cottingham in East Yorkshire. Janice, what would you like to say?
Hi there, James.
Hello, Janice.
Yes, I'd just like to talk about an observation that I made over the years when I worked in the pharmaceutical industry. And part of my job in the early years, I would go and visit GP surgeries, and that would be across a wide geographical area.
Yeah.
And, of course, you'd have the nice little cosy villages where all the worried well were, and you would have the very deprived areas where GPs would be seeing 50 patients in a surgery compared to the other areas that we're seeing 20. You would see the absolute stark contrasting lifestyles. So you'd have them sat there worrying. Yeah. There'd be so many unemployed, poorly educated people that would be have low expectations of anything for themselves, let alone the children. And they've got doing this cycle of stress, and you can see it. And, of course, we all know stress.
Oh, we think we know. We think we know.
Well, we know that stress triggers cortisol.
Oh, yes, sorry. Forgive me. Yes, of course.
And then, of course, that's a chronic issue, because if you are pumping chronically cortisol around your body, that leads to chronic inflammation, which is a trigger for cancers and all sorts of other diseases over a period of time. I do think that contributes.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, we look at diet, as well as other lifestyle factors like smoking. And people don't have time to stop and think. It's a bit like the song Simply Red, "Poor to worry about feeding their babies." I can't remember the exact lyric, but they don't have time. Whereas if you contrast that with the worried well and the older people there, that they're on the bowling green, you know, at 80, enjoying themselves. And it is absolutely stark. And when a GP tells you that what they do in the deprived areas, they are so busy, they look at the patient, they observe the patient walking in, and they make a decision often before that patient's bottom hits the seat if there is a serious issue or not. because they don't have the time. The other factor I've noticed as well, in terms of quality of care, so you'll probably be aware of the hospital rankings recently.
Yes.
And up in Cottingham in Hull, bottom of the pile.
Right.
One of the issues has always been, how do you attract medical people to this area?
It's a more difficult placement.
Absolutely. So what they have done at Hull Hospitals at one point, not that long ago, were advertising the really affluent areas. So they'd be looking at the really beautiful rural villages that were 10 miles from the coast. This is what you could have. And they would be sprawling properties with 2 or 3 acres of land for £700,000.
Mm.
They're living in a semi for more than that down where they currently are. So they move for the lifestyle. That's how they attracted some good clinicians for that. But again, all you are doing is creating even more divide, because a lot of the people they're seeing are living in tower blocks. They don't get fresh air. The kids have nowhere to play, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, I mean, you cover so many points. I suspect the biggest is stress. Do you?
Absolutely. Do you totally think? Agree with you.
And that's
totally
the hardest agree. Thing to communicate, because, everyone thinks they're stressed. There are merchant bankers earning £1 million a year who think they're stressed. And in many ways, they are stressed. But it's not the stress that you're talking about.
No, it's not the stress of day-to-day living. How they're going to put a meal on the table for the children.
What is the difference? Because, you know, if I don't get this deal, then I won't get my bonus. And if I don't get my bonus, then my wife might leave me for the tennis coach. And if my wife leaves me for the tennis coach, then I'll probably have to... I'm stressed. I can't afford the school fees. I'm stressed. There's VAT. So, I mean, that is stress. But it's comical stress compared to...
It is.
If my car gets taken away, I won't be able to get it back. I won't be able to feed the kids on Thursday or Friday because I'm not getting any money until Saturday.
Or I was at the tip the other day, okay? Yeah. And I'm always friendly with the chaps when I go there because they're just lovely people.
They are a particular type, I find. People working at the municipal tip, they're always really friendly and nice. I agree with you.
And when I go, if I've been baking, I take them some sausage rolls.
Flipping, hey, all right. You're putting us all to shame now, Janice.
And they always help me. But when you hear that, I'm going to have to go to the other one, I've been moved, and it takes him 2 bus rides to get to work, and he's got to be there for 9... And he's crossing probably 20 miles from the really poor end of town to a nice affluent area that has a very nice tip.
Sure.
And it's these things. So, you know, one guy there, he isn't 64 until 2 days from now, because I remembered.
Yeah.
I have to say, he looks at least 15 to 20 years older than that.
Oh, gosh.
He cycles to work. He's as thin as a rake, but diabetic, and that's due to diet and stress and all the other factors. And you just see the difference physically in people. You know,
how did we take that away? I mean, Wes Streeting was on particularly good form this morning, I felt, and from what I heard of his appearance on The Breakfast Show. And he is revealing things that are... good achievements for the government and for his department, massive or significant reductions in people on waiting lists for routine hospital treatment and urgent referrals for suspected cancer up by a significant measure from 72.8% to 80.5%, above the actual target. So you know, he is a politician, and hopefully this is a government that does care about the stuff that we're talking about in ways that previous governments for at least the previous 14 years didn't give two figs and actually introduced policies that made everything worse. But how do you address the stress? What would politics look like? What would policies look like that help with that?
Oh, do you know, I am clueless. If I knew that, I'd wave my wand. I do. It sickens me when you look at the likes of Elon Musk that could actually, with the loose change from his pocket could make so much difference in the world to so many different communities. But the thing I see over my years, and I'm well into my 60s now.
Right.
Is the changes over the years and the drifting apart. There is no community anymore. I mean, how can you have community when people just live in tower blocks, you know, and people are living behind gated communities now? You never used to see that. People don't go next door.
Tower blocks were supposed... I mean, I read a lot about it, and my Auntie Lily lived in one in Sheffield, and she had quite good relations with some of her neighbours. They were supposed to sort of provide a vertical equivalent of a horizontal terrorists, weren't they? But I guess you're right. I think gated communities. I keep getting told on when I was still on Twitter, I kept getting told that I lived in a gated community. I had absolutely no idea where that came from, but I think they've always existed. They're just probably slightly more prevalent now. There's a big difference between cities, isn't there, as well? I think urban and rural. The thing you said about buses in London, in particular. We don't realise how privileged we are simply to have public transport, because all we ever do is moan about it. But I come into work by public transport every day, and the lad you describe who's working at the municipal tip, it's an entirely different proposition for him to get from his home to his work via public transport than it would be for someone living in the southeast or living in London. So there's another thing there that would explain stress, stress and the struggle of getting to and from work.
And interestingly, you know, I do remember years ago I used to go into two big medical centres in one of the most deprived areas. It was the biggest council estate in Europe at one point.
Gosh.
And it had the highest teen pregnancy in Europe at one point.
Was that near Sheffield?
No, that's Brantholme in Hull.
Hull. Yeah.
And you would go in there waiting to see the GP. You'd sit and take your turn with the patients in those days. And there were several practices in one big health centre. And the amount of young mums that were there just so they could get, in those days, they would get a house, a flat or whatever, if they had a child. So you had all these then single parent families, boyfriends would come and go, you know, whether they were
part of the world. So it's cyclical, the next generation hasn't got a chance.
And you've got to think about those children. Don't know any different.
And the political mood of the moment was to attack them and to attack the children. And I'm opening up my newspaper today and I'm reading stories about why we need to reduce tax for rich people fleeing Dubai and cut welfare in order to buy more bombs. And of course, the only way you can really reduce the stress of the people that Janice is describing is by making them less financially insecure. But, I mean, what does that even look like in a world where almost all politics is geared towards entrenching wealth and protecting wealth and blaming everybody who hasn't got any wealth for their own conditions? Oh, man. Thank you, Janice. It's stress of choice, a lot of you are telling me. It's a difference, the difference between, if you like, good stress and bad stress, or wealthy stress and poor stress is the consequences. So let me think about me being stressed. Oh, what if my radars aren't great? What if I don't get my bonus? What if this, that, or the other? That, I mean, compared to what if I can't feed the kids next week? What if I can't get to work because my Oyster card's empty and I'm not getting paid until the end of next week? And remember, a large proportion of people on Universal Credit are in work, despite the best efforts of appalling people and tabloid journalists to persuade the population otherwise. And an awful lot of people, almost everybody out of work, is not out of work because they're living a life of Riley. They don't enjoy the existence that they have. And, of course, talking about this is still quite rare in this country, which is another reason why, if you're born into a wealthy area, you get 20 more years of good living than you do if you're born into a poor area, because we don't really like to talk about it or think about it. And we've promoted politics since pretty much the 1970s, certainly since 1979, we've promoted politics that sort of sells the lie that everybody can be privileged if they just worked a little harder or got on their bike.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
How many times do we have to sit and listen to another report or inquiry that says the multi-agency that all failed, all passed the buck, thought, no, it doesn't quite fall under our remit? But I'm sorry, multiple occasions when this kid is turning up at school with a knife and the police don't seem to do anything. They didn't even arrest him. They found him on a bus with a knife, didn't arrest him. Forget it. And nothing will really change.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Hello, beautiful people! Get ready to rock with a new Volkswagen T-Roc. With £2,000 towards your finance deposit on the new Volkswagen T-Roc with Solutions PCP 7.9% APR representative. Test drive the T-Roc today and see why it won What Car's Best Small SUV Award. Order by the 4th of May 2026. Indemnities may be required. Volkswagen Financial Services.
Woo-hoo!
Get that EuroMillions feeling with Friday's £114 million jackpot. Plus, 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to dance. 10 more robots, 10 more limos, 10 more salsas. Friday's EuroMillions jackpot is £114 million and 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. It could be you. Estimated jackpot. Rules apply. 18 plus.
You know what you're getting with a conference. Laptop backpacks. Security pass lanyard.
If you could just pop this on.
Being asked, how was your journey in?
How was your journey in?
An array of triangular sandwiches.
Hmm.
Having to deal with a small crisis back at the office. Sometimes in life, you just know what you're getting. Like a great night's sleep and a tasty breakfast. You know what you're getting with Premier Inn.
At Lidl, we're giving you 50% off a fruit or veg item on your next shop. Just scan the Lidl Plus app at checkout, and when you scan, you'll be in with a chance to win your whole shop back. Open Lidl Plus and start saving today. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB residents, various prices available, subject to availability, end 30th of 5th, 26. Full T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/lp-terms.
Here's a bright idea. Let Wix see how much you could save on your electricity bills. With Wix Solar, our team handles everything under the sun, from design to the perfect installation of your solar panels. We're proud as a peacock to be rated excellent on Trustpilot, so you can feel confident your solar installation is in safe hands. Book your free solar appointment today at wix.co.uk. Wix Solar, a name you can trust with service you can rely on.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
10 minutes to 11 is the time. I'm going to read you a couple of texts. I'll tell you what is a privilege, and I mean this most sincerely, folks. Quality of contributors to my programme. It's a privilege that I thank my lucky stars for every single day. It's not necessarily evident every single day, although it's evident today. I can't think of a day when it wasn't evident, but there have been some. But it is an extraordinary privilege to have the pleasure of canvassing your contributions on a daily basis. And here are two texts that prove the point quite magnificently. This is from Sufyan. What poor people often don't understand about the privileged. And then there's a list. Privilege doesn't always feel like privilege. Many privileged people grew up with stability, so they think that's normal. They don't realise how unusual their safety net is. They assume their success is a result purely of personal effort. They don't see the invisible scaffolding that supported them. What a beautiful phrase. And they genuinely don't experience the same stress. And then things a privileged person may not understand. Why someone is late. Buses, childcare, chaos. Why someone can't plan ahead. No stability. Why someone is exhausted. Multiple jobs, poor health. They are not being cruel. They simply don't live in that world. They often underestimate how hard poverty is to escape. Well, privileged people may think, if I can do it, anyone can. Hard work always pays off. But they don't see structural barriers, discrimination, generational disadvantage, and the lack of networks. Poor people sometimes assume that the privileged are cold or uncaring, when often they are simply unaware. They don't realise how much fear shapes the lives of the poor. A privileged person rarely fears eviction, bailiffs, losing the heating, not being able to afford food or to help their children. And poor people sometimes assume that the privileged are fearless because they are stronger, when really it's because they are safer. And as if to prove the point, this from Mo. I'm going to get this absolutely clear. It's the stress that kills you, James. Literally counting every penny from one paycheck to the next. Missing meals, taking different routes when with the kids to avoid shops so that they don't ask to go in. It's this constant gnawing away in your brain, knowing that you have to stretch every sinew you have just to get through the week. Being scared of the weekends because you know school meals won't cover your kids for 2 days. You try to hide it, but it bleeds out, the stress, so much so that your five-year-old starts asking if we can afford something when he picks it up at a supermarket. The heartbreak and the failure you feel when your kids start understanding that we can barely afford the basics and they slowly start asking for less and less. Avoiding friends and family in case the meetup leads to loads of unexpected spending. Keeping a smile on your face to show the world while hiding all your struggles takes a toll. if I needed any help understanding the difference between that stress and privileged stress, I don't need any help anymore, Mo. Thank you. Particularly the line about the five-year-old in the supermarket. You either get that or you've never been anywhere near it. And if you've never been anywhere near it, I suspect you don't realise how lucky you are. Sarah is in Clerkenwell. Sarah, what would you like to say?
I live in a tower block. I'm on a council estate. I grew up on a council estate. I live in a very affluent area.
Right.
But the poor people, the people in my flats and on council estates, it's like a two-tier system, really. It's just, you know, we are so, there's people that are so poor. In the last month, we've had a suicide off the tower block, the 53rd person to jump.
Oh, my
God. We've had... you know, you talk about stress. These people are, you know, we've got someone with who's psychotic, who's threatening to kill everyone, and yet just over the road, we've got all, you know, lots of middle class people sitting outside Morrow's having their lunch. It's a completely.
What's Morrow's? Is that just a local place?
It's like a local restaurant,
okay.
Isn't it?
I thought it was short for Morrison's. I thought, what are they doing?
No,
what are the middle classes doing sitting outside Morrison's?
No Morrison's. We've got, I wish we did have a Morrison's. But no, I'm on the Tenants Association. I fight the council,
yes.
Sorry. I've got a dry throat.
There is
no funding. There's just absolutely no funding. People commit benefit fraud. They shoplift. And it's all these shoplifters, we've got to do this, all benefit fraud, everyone's on PIP. That's the only way they see through.
Yes.
They have to get on these benefits, and they have to shoplift to be able to even eat and survive. It's just like the minimum wage is, you know, I've got quite radical views. I believe abolish private schools, everyone should be capped with what they earn. You know, you do a great job on the radio, but so does a plumber. Why should you earn so much more than a plumber? You know, we could...
Hang on, leave me out of it, madam. Will you?
No, I'm just using you, but we need a system. You know, the government go, we've upped the minimum wage. Well, you know, upping it by a pound. You know,
it does make a difference, but I appreciate that it's not going to touch the sides of what we're describing
not
today.
Touch the sides, everyone in the... flats. We've got a great community, but we've got a community in kind of desperate, you know, with desperate people. You know, we had to have a coffee morning for people that were affected by this suicide. And
of course
we've got great community around, but the council have got no funding.
They've got less than they used to have, so in some areas things have got worse. How big a gulf in understanding do you think there is between the people sitting outside Morrow's and the people sitting in?
Massive. But I nannied for a long time, so I've worked for people with lots and lots of money.
Gosh.
And they're kind of, you know, they're breakdown, you know, they'd have a breakdown if their cleaner wasn't coming to clean the toilet. Like, there was this woman, oh my God, I've never cleaned a toilet before. I'm just like, do you know, I've had the last month, the soil stack in the tower block that takes I'm on the 17th floor, everyone's toilet waste come into my cupboard, and I phone the council, and they go, that's not an emergency. It's not an emergency. I said, so everyone's toilet waste is coming down five floors and you're going to take... They took 3 weeks to fix it.
Oh,
so basically, you know, we are living in squalor. There's no repairs. Our lift has been out for 3 months. There's old people that can't get out of the block. There's people with kids. There's people that can't feed their kids. And I've grown up in London, always on a council estate. I fight like mad for equality, you know. But you just can't, you know, Keir Starmer to me isn't radical enough. I like Jeremy Corbyn, but, you know, that's me. But, you know, we need a different system.
Well, I think if everybody, oddly, even people who are quite sceptical about some of the ideas that you describe as radical, if everybody could see the gulf that you describe as clearly as you can see it, or as clearly as almost everybody on... Well, no, actually, because there are people on the wrong side of the gulf who can't see it either, aren't there? Because they know...
so little about the kind of families that you used to nanny for. You kind of need to have a bead on the other side of the gulf, don't you, to see the gulf so clearly. You need to be able to see the other side, to see how big it is. There you go, I got there in the end. But if everybody could see how big it is, then these ideas, these politics, I don't think they would be radical.
Understand. There's people in my face just so sad every day as a sadness, and they're lovely people. You know, the kids have got no money. The kids have, you know, there's people drug dealing, there's dealers, there's, you know, there's crackheads in the
And the
block.
Best way politically to sustain this is to sell the myth that it's all the fault of the people caught in the mess, in the net.
No, and of course they're all going to die. There's so many people in my flats with COPD. It's like they wear a badge. Oh, my COPD's worse today. I'm just like, you're still smoking? Because it's the only... A lot of them have got addictions because it's their only way through, and they've just been... You know, you see the next generation, and you just, like, change this system. You've got to change. I mean, years ago I did stand for council, but you just...
You need to have space and time and a little bit of... Do you know what I mean?
No one lives it. It's a two-tier system. Until it changes, we're just...
Person listening today about why you get 20 years more life.
Absolutely. I'm amazed it's 20 years. You know, I've seen people die of, you know, young. You know, they die young.
It's entirely lifestyle related, and particularly in the areas of addiction, which, again, the political narrative is so often one of culpability and blame, the absence of empathy and sympathy. Sarah, thank you. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a clearer depiction of the gulf that we were trying to describe or some of the reasons behind it, and crucially, the failure to notice it. For people who don't know, COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a whole bunch of lung conditions that can cause breathing difficulties. Thank you, Sarah. It's 11 o'clock, and the next conversation we'll pick up in some ways where Sarah left off. If some of the issues that she touched upon affect you and you want to speak to the Samaritans, then the number that you need is 116123. I always remind you of that when it seems appropriate, and there are other ways you can get in touch with them. If you have the internet, you can contact them online. There'll be people manning the email account as well, but the phone number, the 24/7 phone number, is 116123. It's 11 o'clock.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Prime Minister has told LBC there's an overwhelming case for social media firms to go further to tighten protections for children online. Executives from several platforms have met with Keir Starmer for talks at Downing Street this morning. It comes midway through the government's consultation on an Australian-style social media ban for under-16s. Keir was asked by LBC if he's satisfied by current safeguarding actions of platforms.
I think they're beginning to act, and in the roundtable we've just had, they were setting out some of the measures they're taking. The question is, what else? What more? We can't go on like this. We have to protect children. They're not being protected. We've had very many parents telling us how concerned they are. Children themselves saying that they're anxious, they're spending the whole time scrolling, they're in their bedroom, they're not doing other activities. There is no question now about the levels of concern.
The Health Secretary has denied suggestions that the UK will have to ration fuel and medicines if the war in Iran continues into the summer. It follows reports the country could see shortages of chicken and pork if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. Officials have been drawing up contingency plans for a reasonable worst-case scenario. But speaking to LBC's Call the Cabinet this morning, Wes Streeting insisted the country's supply chains are robust enough.
It's really important to say two things in this context. One is we are absolutely prepared and we do that contingency planning. Secondly, the likelihood of us needing to activate these worst-case scenario plans is reassuringly low.
Mr. Streeting also refused to rule out an end to resident doctors' strikes in England this year. The Health Secretary told LBC that he will reinstate an offer of extra training places if the BMA ends industrial action. The British Medical Association has accused the government of moving the goalposts over its jobs and pay offer. Surrey Police has warned disorder won't be tolerated after protesters gathered in Epsom to protest an alleged rape in the town. A woman in her 20s reported that she'd been attacked outside a church in the early hours of Saturday morning. Officers say they're reviewing CCTV footage but don't yet have enough information to release descriptions of the potential suspects. And the UK economy grew by 0.5% in February, according to official figures out this morning. The data does not show the impact of the Iran war, though, which started on the last day of February. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 27 at 10,586. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK through Thursday. Some heavy downpours in northern areas with a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah, and you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Minutes after 11, a slight postponement of that promised conversation between Natasha Clark and Sir Keir Starmer. We'll catch up with that at 11:30 today. I just felt the quality of calls in the last hour was so high, it would have been a shame to pull away. But I do want to talk about something associated but different next. And I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but I, for reasons that you probably have to go back and listen on catch up to fully grasp, I began a conversation about the Southport inquiry by talking about something I'd witnessed in the Chiswick branch of Marks and Spencer's on Monday afternoon, and or possibly Tuesday. And it was a very rare sighting on the streets of suburbia. It was a shoplifter being tackled. And the reason it struck me so hard, I don't know if this is relevant to the conversation we had in the last hour. I genuinely don't know. If you are in a supermarket in a poorer part of town, are the staff on security more likely to stop and accost shoplifters? I don't know that they are. Looking at the figures that I'll share with you shortly, I suspect that this is almost a classless problem. Greg's is the one that has really struck me. I saw someone just walk into Greg's, help themselves to a variety of goods, and then run out. And there was nothing that the staff could, and I don't think it's controversial to say, should have done about it. And this apparently, I was chatting to somebody in there, happens quite often. They're just sort of almost treating Greg's like a buffet, knowing that the staff there, presumably, are under instruction not to endanger themselves by chasing anybody who's come in to nick a couple of sandwiches and a bag of Quavers and six energy drinks, which was extraordinary, big pockets. And that's why I was so struck on Tuesday by the encounter. I got caught shoplifting as a kid. I've told you this before. The store detective, looking back, elected to get a sort of 14-year-old boy who was nicking LP records from Woolworths. And I don't know whether back in 1984, there were echoes of 1984 in the last hour of the programme, weren't there? But this is the actual 1984, not the novel. No, I beg your pardon, 1986. That's the sequel. Whether or not back then in Woolworths in Kidderminster, the store detective would have preferred to collar a 14-year-old record thief than, for example, a 25-year-old potentially much more violent and dangerous character. But, you know, let me tell you what happened when I got caught shoplifting. I'd left the shop and I was going down an escalator in the Swan Centre, if you're familiar with this part of the country. And I noticed there was a police officer, a uniformed police officer, at the bottom of the escalator, which was slightly worrying, given that I was in a state of fleeing the scene of a crime. And I subsequently noticed that there was one at the top of it as well. So they'd kind of waited until I was in a situation where I wouldn't be able to run away. And that is obviously a sign that
store detective had contacted the police, and the police were deployed in numbers. I think, I mean, certainly there were two in the car that took me to the police station, but I think there were more to catch a 14-year-old boy stealing records from Woolworths. So I'm going to ask shortly what has changed to explain the figures that we're looking at now. And I'd forgotten the answer I can personally provide to that. There is no earthly way now that police would be deployed essentially to catch almost any shoplifters, let alone a 14-year-old boy in Kidderminster. It was Def Leppard, all right? Nicking Hysteria by Def Leppard from Woolworths. That's part of why we're looking at the figures that we're looking at. But even then, and there's something really interesting here. I hope we can get to it together. Even then, in that admittedly anecdotal but very real experience, the store detective didn't tackle me. The store detective, who was sort of, I suppose you'd have to say, undercover. They weren't in uniform. I don't know, do we still have these people who are just walking around pretending to be shopping while looking for people who are shoplifting? So he would have then contacted the police, and the police would have come into town or come from wherever they... Anyway, I don't need to paint a picture for you. You can see it all. That wouldn't happen now. Not the deployment of the police, I don't believe. And even when I was caught, I wasn't physically tackled by the store detective. The reason the police were there and why they'd fenced me in on the escalator coming out of the Swan Centre, if you're familiar with that part of the country, was so that I wouldn't be able to get away and they'd be able to catch me. Do you want to know something quite tragic? I'm in the back of the police car, right? And my mum, who had come to pick me up, sees this unfolding. The poor, poor woman. She's hysterical in the front of the Renault 5. I said, can I just tell my mum that I've been arrested and you're taking me to the police station, please? And they obviously say no. They thought my mum might be my getaway driver, I presume. So there's no earthly way they're going to let me just sort of... So the police take me over and I tell... It's one of the worst moments of my life. The second worst moment of that day. I've told you before what the worst moment was and I might tell you again. So I'm in the back of the police car, 14, 15 years old, remember? And there's a briefcase next to me, and I hit the briefcase quite hard. And one of the police officers in the front of the car goes, "Oi!" And do you know what I said to him? I said, "Don't worry, I'm not violent." It's about 30, well, I don't know, 12 and a half foot of police officer sitting in the front of the car. And I, crikey, what was I, about 10 stone in full kit and clobber, honestly. Oh dear. "Don't worry, I'm not violent." I said, "We're not worried, son." That was a bad moment. So that's just a mark of something that has happened in the course of almost 30 years, right? No, more than that, almost 40 years. Good Lord, how did that happen? And then on Tuesday, I'm in Marks and Spencer's in Chiswick. And I told you yesterday, if you missed it, that I see an old school takedown of a shoplifter. And I haven't seen that happen. I can't remember the last time I saw that happen. Two men, tailing, following somebody in the shop. And then when they tried to leave the shop, grabbing him. And this is the thing I really want to convey to you. It's a bit like the conversation in the last hour. If you don't live with violence regularly, if you don't live with physical violence regularly, it's a really shocking thing. I mean, it's tragic if it stops being shocking, but that kind of, it's like a dial, isn't it? Most of us are living at 2 or 3. You never really see. You might get a raised voice. If you're my age, you might have got your bottom smacked for being naughty when you were little. But you don't ever really, on a regular basis, except, I'm going to say the most middle-class thing that you've heard today, except on the rugby pitch. You never wrestle, really. To physically grab another adult, one adult physically grabbing another adult who doesn't want to be grabbed, is an out-of-the-ordinary thing to witness and encounter. So to see two men physically grabbing another man who is resisting furiously, and I mean furiously, and carrying him, almost dragging and carrying him to the back of the shop, it made me realise, and I said this to you yesterday, that every single phone-in I've conducted about, and I think I can speak for everybody else, although whether they're honest enough to admit it is up to them, every phone-in I've heard and every phone-in I've held about shoplifting has been a waste of everybody's time. Because we're talking in theory about a situation that can only be solved by putting a significant number of physically robust human beings in shops prepared to endanger themselves physically by grabbing people who are prepared to hurt them. But don't worry, I'm not violent. And that's it, in many ways. So, there aren't police officers anymore, and if they're in the area, they're not going to come for a shoplifting event. You've got shop workers, and you can sit there until you see it. You can think, well, why doesn't somebody do something? I remember seeing a woman actually in Marks and Spencer's in Chiswick about 2 or 3 years ago, I think I told you at the time, who was berating a shop assistant because she had witnessed somebody shoplifting, and she was essentially saying, well, why don't you do something about it? They just walked out with a basket. And I was on her side, to my shame. I remember, I didn't join in, I'm not weird, but I remember thinking, yeah, why didn't you do something? Because it's an affront, right, if you're paying for your groceries, to see someone waltz out of the shop not paying with for them. And so this woman, and I'm not having a swing at her, because as I said, I was on her side. But she's berating an ordinary shop assistant, by which I mean somebody who is not specific security. Why didn't you do something about it? And they're sort of trying to mollify her and say, well, it happens all the time. Well, if it happens all the time, it's all the more reason to do something. Why don't you do something about it? You're a shop assistant on minimum wage or thereabouts. Why on earth would you run up to a fist and headbutt it? Or put yourself in a situation where you could get seriously, seriously hurt? So, the number of shoplifting offences has risen by 133% in the past 5 years. Some of the reasons why we have now touched upon. Some of the reasons why we will touch upon moving forward. You get, and to be honest, I was surprised that this figure was so high. Just shy of 20% of offences resulted in a charge. There are, however, huge variations between the 43 police forces, and indeed it is here in London where the figure is lowest, less than 7% of cases recorded in the relevant period ended in a charge, down from the beginning of that period, down from 8.64% to 7%. And we heard in the last hour from a brilliant caller who talked of necessity to steal. If you don't steal, you can't eat. I mean, that will be part of the answer to the question I'm asking, but I don't know how big a part it will honestly be. Addicts stealing to feed their habit, endangering themselves and others. Are you going to run up and rugby tackle somebody who is so desperate to get away? I'm not. Who is? Because I tell you, it's an extraordinary thing. I find my right in thinking we used to see it quite often. I certainly remember seeing it a couple of times as a kid. Someone trying to nick from a shop, getting collared and caught and dragged to the back room. So the figure, the size of the figure, the extraordinary number, the 133% in the past 5 years. I'm just going to hit you over the head with that a couple of times, all right? It's a five-year window, and it's a more than doubling. It's a 133% increase. That's what I want to zone in on. The last 5 years have seen a 133% increase, and I want to know why, in your view. If you've got expertise, great. If you haven't, welcome to my club. My expertise is witnessing and a sort of, is it a citizen's arrest? I don't even know what you call it. My expertise is being a shoplifter in 1987 or 6 and witnessing some shoplifting earlier this week and being disturbed by the physicality of it. Why has this figure rocketed so far in such a relatively short period of time? And can I put a possible thing on the table that is not often on the table during these conversations. How much more should the shops be doing? Because somebody in that chain of command at Marks and Spencer's, whether on a local level or a national level, has decided that they've had enough. Somebody in Marks and Spencer's has decided to put two lads, and all fair play to them, put two lads on the shop floor who are not going to let him pass. You shall not pass, they didn't say. And that is new to me. It's certainly new to the woman who was outside the same shop 3 years ago berating a female shop assistant for not stopping someone who'd ran out with a basket full of smoked salmon. Why has this number gone up? Because I wonder whether, particularly after Theresa May's genius moves in cutting police, I wonder, I mean, the stupidest thing I've heard about the police this week, it was from Kemi Badenoch, actually, who thinks that if speed cameras are catching people speeding, then they could somehow be better deployed at catching criminals. I don't know what she thinks speed cameras do. I don't know whether she thinks speed cameras have got legs or that speed cameras... So the police shouldn't be worrying about people speeding. They should be catching criminals. The speeders are caught by cameras, Kemi Badenoch. Tell me how a camera is going to catch a thief going at 74 on the M25. How's that camera going to be redeployed into thief-taking? I don't think she was even picked up on this. I read it in the newspaper the next day and I thought, am I the only one who knows that speed cameras can't catch thieves? Especially not if they are actually cemented into the ground. I suppose if you had one on wheels and it was some sort of like drone type creation, it could just go around the place trying to photograph criminals. And then what? Just like a robotic voice would come out of the camera and go, halt, I am RoboCop. Kemi Badenoch says I have to arrest you. Please don't run away, because if you do, I mean, if you go up some stairs, I'm doomed, I'm finished, I can't even follow you. But no, Kemi Badenoch's adamant that we've got to stop finding people for speeding who've been caught by cameras, because the police, who have no involvement in that process whatsoever, could be better deployed catching criminals. But hey-ho, if you're a Tory politician in a certain context, you're not even going to get picked up on that kind of claptrap. But shoplifting can be stopped. Because I saw it being stopped earlier this week. The question is, why is it not stopped more? Why is this so much more prevalent and commonplace now? And why has it happened so much in the last 5 years? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 03456060973 is the number you need. Because I don't really think there's any other way to fix it than for Marks and Spencer's and other shops to pay more money to trained people to put themselves at risk by collaring the shop. There is nothing else anybody can do about this. Is there? Which means it's their fault. It means they're just factoring it in. Which isn't true, because this week they've been complaining about the failure of the government and the police to get a grip on shoplifting. How can the government and the police get a grip on shoplifting? 03456060973 is the number that you need. It is 11:21. Hit those numbers now, you will get through.
LBC.
There comes a time in your life when you need to make a change, to start a new chapter. It's time to consider a residential park home bungalow from Ecos Group. Castleview Court in Pevensey is a peaceful gated community for those aged over 45, set in a stunning location close to all local amenities. You can enjoy a stress-free move with up to 100% part exchange on your existing property with free site fees for your first year. Make that lifestyle change today and join us at our open weekend on the 25th and 26th of April at Castleview Court, Pevensey Bay, Pevensey. Or visit ecosgroup.co.uk. That's ecosgroup.co.uk.
With LV, I can get my car insurance from just £299. Just the price I'm after right now. And if I'm hit by an uninsured driver, I won't lose my no-claim discount. Because insurance is simple when it's me and LV.
No wonder we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. Get your quote today at lv.com. 10% of new customers pay £299 or less July to December 2025. Uninsured driver promise is non-fault accident only. Other vehicle and driver details required. LV General Insurance is part of Allianz.
Need anything from Tesco? Like a Nestle Milky Bar 2-pack dessert. Now just 75p, down from £2.
Club card accepted.
Because every little helps. Majority of larger stores ends 21st of April. Club card or app required.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
It is 11:23. Some of you really have been listening to this programme for too long, although you have made a mistake, actually, on this one with your memories of my past life. It's because I have a very finite pool of anecdotes. It's possible you've heard the I got caught shoplifting from a wall. It might have been 1987 looking at Wes. I could have been I'd still have been 15, but a little bit later in the year. James, you forgot to mention the time you followed that fella down the high street with a suitcase full of stolen jeans when you worked in Top Man. How dare you? I never worked in Top Man. It was River Island. And again, it's actually pertinent because the manager told me to follow him. They said, that bloke's just nicked a load of jeans. I was 18 years old, fresh out of public school, very wet behind the ears. And, I used to play fly half. I look after myself in a ruckus, and I was not very good at fighting. And so the manager, who didn't like me, I can't think why, sent me out Worcester High Street following a bloke who was clearly a professional shoplifter who had put, he believed, six pairs of Levi's into a suitcase. And whether he had a magic suitcase or not, I don't know, because he knew I was following him. He knew I'd come out of the shop. There was a clue. I still had my badge on. And just outside, was it Viking Burger on Worcester High Street? He turned around and opened the suitcase and went, look, I haven't got any jeans. I haven't got anything like this. But what if he had decided to have a swing at me with his suitcase? I wasn't being paid anything. I was on 100 quid a week, I think, if memory serves. I'm not going to go up to somebody and run the risk of getting smashed around the head with a suitcase. And, of course, if you are a bit braver than me, like Walker Smith, who was a shop assistant at a branch of Waitrose in Clapham Junction, you can get fired. This was reported while I was on holiday. A Waitrose employee of 17 years has described his devastation after being sacked for stopping a shoplifter who had ransacked a display of Lindt Gold Bunny Easter eggs. There's often a little bit more to these stories than headlines convey, but it appears that his offence was to throw a piece of chocolate bunny in frustration towards some shopping trolleys, which means, of course, that it could have hit a customer. And he said he wasn't aiming it at the shoplifter, but he got fired after 17 years. So what would you do? Why is it rocketing? 0345 606 0973. Dan's been in touch to say it's unrelated, James, but if you do want to give us a news story, tell us about the Tai Chi incident. I'm not telling you about that. I'm not ready. It's still too raw. It's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. I'm not telling you about it. It's why I'm doing yoga. Yoga's great. I'm not telling you what happened when I started Tai Chi, all right? Not until I'm a lot more comfortable with my yoga. It is 26 after 11. Amber's in Leeds. Amber, what's going on?
Hi, good morning, James.
Hello, Amber.
So I live by a Marks and Spencer's store in what is classed as a fairly affluent area.
Yes.
It has an endemic problem with shoplifting. And one of the issues that we've experienced is that the people that are shoplifting from the store, coming to our gardens to sort out their loot.
Oh, my days. That's not fun.
It really isn't, especially when, if you accidentally...
Oh, no! They've got her! Could you resurrect Amber's phone line, please, if you want to continue the conversation? Of course, if you want to contribute yourself, 0345 60 60 973 is the number that you need. We are looking at the question of not just the a massive increase in the incidence of these moments, the 133% increase, but also, of course, the fact that it's taken place in just 5 years, in a mere 5-year window. Something's gone a bit wrong with our phone lines, I'm told. Which is fine, because I could tell you the Tai Chi story, couldn't I? I'm not telling you the Tai Chi story. I've told you the River Island. Oh, no. Why did I use up all my shoplifting-related anecdotes while the phone lines were working? And now the phone lines are not working. I've got no shoplifting-related anecdotes to share. It's absolutely outrageous. I'm not telling you the Tai Chi story. Let's see if Amber is there, although it's not my fault or indeed anybody's fault. The engineering department in this building are by far the hardest working human beings, apart from Keith. Amber, are you there?
I am.
Oh, she's there. Well, let's see if it lasts. So we were in your garden. They were in your garden,
yes.
Divvying up the loot.
That's correct, yeah. We've been threatened on numerous occasions. In one instance, I was injured by one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I've reported it to the company,
yes,
who have essentially said, nothing to see here. We can't get involved or share you any information about the security arrangements. And I think, for me, part of the issue is the opportunity, because these people are going in knowing full well that nothing is going to happen.
Mm. Do you know that football clubs have to pay for their own policing, I think?
Wow, I don't believe that I did.
On match days they do, because right. I'm just thinking, because it stuck in my mind for some reason when just before I went away, Marks and Spencer's hit out at the failure one of their senior honchos.
Yes,
I think sent a letter complaining that the government and the police were not doing enough to stop shoplifting. And
yeah.
I mean, what I saw earlier this week was Marks and Spencer's employees stopping a shoplifter.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only way to fix it, no?
I think there is certainly some truth in that. Whilst the staff in the store are fantastic, they're great, they are worried about their own personal safety. So I asked the company why they couldn't provide a security guard. And just nothing. They're not interested in either the resident safety or the safety of the staff.
And so it is we can't speculate unduly on what the motivation may be, but we can speculate duly in that there's a level that is just shrinkage, we used to call it when I worked in retail. It is just a sort of acceptable cost, if you like. And then there's clearly a level at which it becomes unacceptable. And I suspect that we're dancing around that level now. And the question of what is going to be done about it is not easily answered by just shouting at the government or blaming the police. It's going to have to involve spending some of the profits that these shops make on stopping the thefts. I worry a bit about the last hour of the conversation and whether or not the reason why the one in Chiswick is getting this kind of service is because it's in quite a salubrious area. And if it was, and not that you have Marks and Spencers necessarily in the less salubrious parts of the country, but if it wasn't such a middle class enclave, it wouldn't be such a priority. I genuinely don't know. But the idea that it can all be sorted by the police and the government seems to me to just be close to daft, actually. 11:30 is the time. I think the phone lines are all right now, but typically we'll be talking to Natasha Clark after this and hitting the phones again, hopefully, at 11:45. And then if there's no phone lines for Mystery Hour, what are we going to do? I don't think even I could do an hour of Mystery Hour without... I mean, I could talk about Donald Trump for an hour or Brexit, but I don't think I could do a sort of one-man Mystery Hour. I could get the game out, couldn't I? I could just ask the questions and provide the answers myself. I think we can all agree that we don't want that to happen. Here's Dominic Ellis with the headlines.
Sir Keir Starmer's told LBC his government won't sit back and allow children's safety online to continue to be put at risk. Social media platform leaders have met with the Prime Minister for talks at Downing Street this morning. The Health Secretary insists the UK supply chains are robust enough to deal with the impacts of the war in the Middle East. But Wes Streeting has admitted, while speaking to LBC's Call the Cabinet, contingency plans are being worked on for a reasonable worst-case scenario. And the waiting list for routine hospital treatment in England has fallen for the fourth consecutive month. An estimated 7.22 million treatments were waiting to be carried out at the end of February. That's down from 7.25 million a month earlier. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK through today. Some heavy downpours in northern areas, a high of 16 degrees.
This is LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's...
My tip is...
Weight loss?
Forget that.
Keep dancing. Dragon fruit.
Podcast.
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
How about Specsave ears?
Not sure.
Do you get it? Specsave ears?
Yeah, but no.
Oh, okay. Specs, and we also do hearing two savers.
Think about it. Should have gone to Specs and we also do hearing two savers. Can't see it catching on.
OK, so we're saying Specsavers do eyes and ears. Senses savers.
Technically true.
Yeah?
But actually terrible.
Oh. At Specsavers, we're hearing experts too, and have been for over 20 years. Oh, should we just stick to Specsavers then?
Yeah.
Book a free hearing check today.
You know what you're getting with a wedding? Wedding hats. A baby in a waistcoat crying throughout the vows. Themed tables. Awkward best man speech. The plus one.
Hello.
People dancing in a circle. Ruined rental suit. Sometimes in life you just know what you're getting. Like a luxury bed and a great night's sleep. You know what you're getting with Premier Inn.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
There's another story which Yvonne has sent me that is, I think, pertinent to this, and it's only from 2023. It's not like decades ago. A security guard has been jailed for 6 years for fatally injuring a shoplifter after chasing him from a branch of Marks & Spencer. This was at Reading Crown Court in 2023, and the event seemed to have unfolded in that the shoplifter and his accomplice, the accomplice kind of hit the security guard from behind. This is what the judge said. You were attacked from behind by the accomplice, causing no significant injuries. Mr. Page, the man that died, continued on his way. You dealt him a blow that was quite forceful. And so, that meant that the two lads I saw on Tuesday were also needed to be conscious of not being too robust, not being too violent. So the shoplifter can punch you as a security guard, but you can't punch them back. And I suppose is how it should be, but goodness me, it makes it a little bit rich for the highly paid executives of Marks & Spencer to demand that somebody does something about this, doesn't it? I don't know. Anyway, we'll get back to that later, because Natasha Clark is here. She has been obnubbing with the Prime Minister, so she has. How did you get on?
Yeah, you
What's
know,
it
was
like
a
in
good
Downing
move.
Street? I've never been.
Oh, so cool.
Is it
it's
nice?
Really cool. Yeah, and I got a really nice picture, which I shouldn't take, of taking a Flurry the cat.
Did you?
He's snoozing on the bit that where you have to hand in your phone when you go in there, because they don't want, obviously, anyone listen to your
of
conversations
course.
Or anything.
Yes.
And he's sitting on this big sort of oak wood paneled sort of area where you will have to put your phones in to hide them away, and he's sitting on this big like stack of folders, and bless him, he's so sweet. I don't think he's unfortunately got long left for this world. He's very old.
That concludes Natasha Clark's report on her visit to Downing Street earlier today. That's fantastic, Natasha. No, we'll see you next week for PMQs.
Yes, but no, he did have some other things to say. He's had a number of social media firms.
But like, meow.
No, the Prime Minister.
Sorry.
Sorry, slight change of tone there. Yeah, the Prime Minister has been having social media firms in today to Downing Street.
Yes.
He wants them to do more to tackle harmful content on social media. We know that the government have put out this consultation on all the things that they want to do. He's just had a round table with all of these bosses. He's had them in. He's writing to CEOs, including Elon Musk, including Mark Zuckerberg, to tell them what he wants them to do and to ask them what they are doing to help keep children safe. Here was him speaking earlier this morning to those social media bosses and giving yet another hint that a ban on social media is forthcoming.
The evidence is mounting and the status quo simply cannot be allowed to stand. And it's clear to me that parents aren't asking us for tweaks at the edges. They're asking us whether a system that clearly isn't working for children should be allowed to continue at all. So that's where they're going with their argument, with their thoughts. And obviously companies have to grip this and work with us to do better by British children and to demonstrate credibly and quickly how these products can be made appropriate for children. Because, frankly, if they can't, it becomes increasingly difficult to argue that these platforms should be part of childhood at all.
Why were you conducting the interview in the bathroom?
This is not my fetish. This is the pool fetish. He was speaking in front of a very echoey room. It's quite echoey in Downing Street. They need some more carpets in there, James.
Clearly.
But I did speak to him after that round table, where the audio is much, much better. He told me it's not a question of if they will act, but when and how.
We do want platform providers to change. This is not a question of whether there's going to be something done. We are going to act. And the question now is, what exactly is that and what's the timescale around it? We took powers earlier in Parliament to make sure we can act very quickly. So this won't be like the Online Safety Act, which took years. This is going to be much quicker than that. I've just had a round table with all the key providers and been very clear with them that we want to know what they're doing now and what they are going to be doing. And I'm writing now to all of the CEOs to ask them to provide me with assurance of what they are doing already and what else they're going to do, but also being clear at the roundtable and in the letter that we're not a government that's going to sit back here. We're going to act, and therefore this has to be done.
So, James, I do think it is a matter of when the government decides to ban social media for under-16s. And obviously this is part of this wider piece of work that they're doing. It's not just going to be a wide ban. It's going to be action on curfews. It's going to be action on algorithms. They're going to do things to stop incessant scrolling. And autoplay videos was something that the Prime Minister mentioned as well. He doesn't think that it's right, for example, that if you're a child and you're on social media, you can just infinitely scroll and scroll and scroll. And these videos to just play without you essentially instructing them to do so. But not everybody is happy. Obviously, the Prime Minister's talking very tough today. We saw that vote in the House of Commons last night. MPs are voting it down at the moment, that all-out ban. We spoke earlier today on LBC to Ellen Room. Her son, Jules, died aged 14. She's campaigning for a change in the law. She speaks very powerfully about the case to act now. She's very frustrated that the Prime Minister isn't acting faster.
Convenient timing, isn't it? They weren't going to vote yesterday, we knew that. And then today, it's lined up, there's a meeting with all the tech bosses. Just convenient publicity stunt, quite frankly. I mean, how many times do we have to keep talking about the subject? I mean, it goes on and on and on about a consultation and all the things that they keep saying, well, we need to look at doing more, actually do something. I just get so frustrated with this continuous talk of consultations and things, you know, like delaying the hours that a child can be on the site. They can still see harm within that time. I just get so frustrated. We need to step up and actually take some leadership and protect the children that are on the platforms.
And I think, to be fair to the Prime Minister, there are countries around the world, including Australia, who have found it quite hard to implement this ban. And I think, in fairness, this consultation is looking at those loopholes to figure out exactly how it can be done properly. There are lots of criticisms. The NSPCC, the Molly Rose Foundation, do not support an all-out ban. They say that we need to look at those loopholes to see how we can close it further. I mean, James, I remember when I was a kid, I always got around the computer parental controls that my parents put on my computer. Mm. And I think that kids are very savvy these days, and they will manage to find a way to lie about their age or change the settings on their social media. If they are as addictive as we've been told and we have been led to believe, children are going to be attempted to find a way around this.
Of course they are. I mean, it's a little bit confusing. I have nothing but sympathy for the situation that Ellen Room finds herself in, and indeed the other parents that were at Number 10 yesterday. Of course, they want this fixing yesterday, not tomorrow, and certainly not a week next Monday. But why is he... So he's urging social media giants to do more while knowing that they won't do anything unless they have to. It's going to take legislation to fix this. It's not that Elon Musk isn't going to suddenly develop a conscience and decide that he wants to look after children's welfare.
In fairness, some social media companies have been very forthcoming, and I speak of TikTok, actually, on this case. They have already put in a number of different features, let's say, to their social media accounts for children. So if you're a parent, you can control partly your child's TikTok account. You can put curfews on when they have to stop using the app. You can put limits on how long they can stay on there for. So it's fair to say, and I asked him this question, I said, do you think that social media companies are taking this seriously enough? And he said, I think they're starting to.
Yeah.
So I think they are waking up.
And partly because of the noise being made by campaigners like Ellen Room and others. Just a quick word on last night's vote. What was that about? Why did MPs vote against banning under 16 from social media?
Yeah, so I think because basically the Labour Party has said, we're dealing with this, we're going to look at the consultation, we will come back later.
So it was like a sort of private members, well, not a private members, but it wasn't government.
So it's Lord Nash, he's the former skills minister. Right. He is trying to amend the Children and Wellbeing and Schools Bill, which is going through the Commons now. Basically, he just thinks that we've got no time to waste, that we shouldn't really be waiting until the outcome of this consultation. We've seen lots of evidence about the harms that social media is causing, and he is calling for the government to act now. the government, and you see this from Keir Starmer, right? He is a consultations guy. He is not just going to jump into something without seeing that evidence first and doing the groundwork for it. And I think that is what he's doing. I do think he will act on social media. I did ask him, do we expect something by the summer? Can you commit to that time frame? He wasn't able to say that, but I do think we will be hearing from him as soon as that consultation closes. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a social media ban by the end of the year.
Okay. That's interesting. Thank you. Did you ask him about anything else? Or was it just kind of...
Just that was it.
Just on rules?
Just on social media rules. Didn't ask him how Larry was doing, but that was the question I did really want to ask. But it feels a bit mean to just be like, hi, is Larry the cat okay?
Yes, I suppose it does. Natasha Clark live on LBC with me, having spent the morning with Sir Keir Starmer at number 10 at Downing Street, as you heard earlier today. That insistence that tech giants do something probably does deserve a little bit of the criticism Ellen Room deployed, although, you know, governments have to tell the public what they're up to, because most of them aren't going to do anything unless they are compelled to do so, as we kind of discovered while discussing these issues on this programme over the years. Thank you, Natasha. I suppose, I don't know if it's a clarification, quite a few of you pointing out that you are not prevented from defending yourself if a shoplifter is violent, if he punches you and you punch him back. That's a rather different situation from the one that I described a few moments before Natasha started talking, where a gentleman, a security guard, got jailed for 6 years for fatally injuring a shoplifter after chasing him from a branch of Marks and Spencer. So if you chase someone down the street and clatter them, you're going to be in a very different legal jeopardy than you would be if it's a sort of exchange of blows while trying to contain somebody. But it highlights just how difficult it is. I hope I didn't sound stupid. I'm confident I didn't sound stupid, because if I sounded stupid to you, it's only because you are unlucky enough to live regularly in the presence of violence. People who do not encounter physical violence in the rough, in the wild, as it were, on a regular basis will be deeply disturbed by it. And that's why I sort of found myself a little shocked at realizing and remembering how difficult it is, physically difficult it is, to stop a shoplifter. That, for me, is the biggest reason why it has rocketed. More and more people have realized, they have become more and more desperate, perhaps, but generally speaking, the realization that there's not a great deal that they will or can do in most shops is probably the biggest driver of this criminality, of this behavior. So the question of who can stop it, well, that's the one we'll continue to address after this.
This is LBC.
Tony, what do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Scott has called from Glasgow. Hi, Scott.
Jane's in Camden first. Hi, Jane.
Our focus in the last few weeks has been on getting the Strait of Hormuz open, because all the time it's not open for free navigation. That is impacting our economy and our energy bills. So it's my job to protect the British public from that.
Hear every side of the story.
Starmer is going to have to get involved.
America has to get rid of Trump before he continues down this road of leading the world into a global economic crash.
You feel like asking what you have a luxury now to eat health.
I'm almost in my 40s and I haven't ever had a break in war, in any of these living costs.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
How does a $20 golf gadget end up being used as a bomb detector in war zones worldwide? I'm Alice Levine and this is Explosive Lies, the podcast exposing a scam that fooled governments and security services across the globe. Open our free Global Player app and search Explosive Lies to start listening today.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know your furry friends get up to all kinds of mischief. Like when the dog scuffed that entire chocolate cake. Or the time the cat tested his 9 lives from the curtain rail. Again. That's why we're here when it matters most, with fuss-free pet insurance policies, including unlimited video call access with First Vet. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
At Wickes, the Home and Garden event is now on. Save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £24, now £16. Shop today. Terms apply.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do is...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's
my
house.
My tip
weight
is...
loss? I...
No, forget that.
Never,
you
never
just
keep dancing.
Dragon fruit.
Podcast.
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise.
Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
How about Specsave ears?
Not sure.
Do you get it? Specsave ears?
Yeah, but no.
Oh, okay. Specs, and we also do hearing two savers.
Think about it. Should have gone to Specs, and we also do hearing two savers. Can't see it catching on.
Okay, so we're saying Specsavers do eyes and ears. Senses savers.
Technically true.
Yeah.
But actually terrible.
Oh.
At Specsavers, we're hearing experts too, and have been for over 20 years.
Oh, should we just stick to Specsavers then?
Yeah.
Book a free hearing check today.
Hey, you! Yeah, you! What would you like from your investing app? 6% interest on your ISA, a free share of your choice, or no commission on stocks and ETFs up to €100,000 per month? With XTB, you get all of the above all in one app. The XTB app. Get your free share and start investing with XTB today. XTB, where your money works.
Capital at risk. Investment values can rise or fall. Limited free stock availability. 2% ISA rate boost for 90 days. New clients only. T's and C's apply.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
Would you like a missing world round? We haven't done a missing world round for a while because, like all features on this programme, their regularity depends entirely on my memory, which is essentially like Swiss cheese. But I've remembered today. End of the line for Escobar's renegade blank, or blanks, or blank blanks, if you prefer. End of the line for Escobar's renegade blank blanks. I'll share that with you shortly. I haven't got an unhinged headline for you, but I have got a brilliant headline. Obviously, we don't have any audio for brilliant headlines, so what I'll do is I'll play the unhinged headline one, or rather Keith will, and I will cunningly say the word brilliant over the top of Emily Maitlis saying the word unhinged. No, that's misinformation. I'll say brilliant in the style of the bloke that does the unhinged headline sting. Are we ready? Yes, we are.
Brilliant! Headline.
Yeah, did that work? Not at all. Well, not even close. Too fast. I'll do it again. Hang on, Keith, when you're ready.
Brilliant! Headline.
That was good. So the Guardian did this today. It's a story about a poor soul who was on holiday in Brazil and got scammed £1,500 for a kebab. I kid you not. It's the latest in a spate of brazen beachside swindles. Three words there that only ever appear in newspaper articles. Isn't that fantastic? Spate, brazen and swindle. When was the last time you heard someone use the word swindle in normal conversation? Or indeed the word spate. Oh, there's been a spate of frogs in my garden. A spate of brazen beachside swindles. And what they do, obviously, they use the click and pay thing, you know, the touch to pay thing, and you don't know what the number is. He bought a kebab, they charged him £1,500. But the sub-editor at The Guardian, this is superb. So the second bit of the headline says, Britain in Rio skewered by £1,500 kebab con. That's a pretty good play on the word skewered, right? Because you say skewer, kebab, skewered, da-da-da. But listen to this. The top line on this headline, pitter bill to swallow. That's absolute genius. Thank you very much for doing that, Keith. You're absolutely right. Pitter bill to swallow. That's one of the best headlines I've ever seen. It's so clever. And when it struck them, it must have been like a light bulb going off. Pitter bill to swallow. I love that headline. It's brilliant. That's probably the first and last episode of Brilliant Headline. But see if you can get the answer to the missing word round. End of the line for Escobar's renegade blank blanks. Back to the phones. Colin's in Ashford. Colin, shoplifting. What's going on?
Hi, James. First time caller, so I'm a little bit nervous. But
it's only me. It's only me, Colin. You're very welcome.
So I've been working in retail for the best part of 30 years.
Yes.
So this is a subject that quite resonates with me quite closely.
Oh, sure. Yes.
So we experience it every day. I've worked for the last 18 years. I've been working in the supermarket, so it's a daily occurrence for me, seeing people coming in and helping themselves to stuff and just walking out with bagfuls at times. I personally think that a lot of it's down to money. It comes down to things like cost of living. That fuels people's inability to be able to afford to live, so they come in and buy, steal basics. Then your next level up is you've got your addicts that come in and they want to steal, stuff for a quick fix or a quick sale. And then on top of that, you've got your organised gangs that come in, and they're coming in and buy, you know, stealing in bulk, and they're obviously servicing a market somewhere for.
They're selling it on. I mean, there are stories about car boot sales containing stuff that looks deeply suspect, and people stealing to order, and even a sort of, you know, like the sort of criminal equivalent of the Avon lady going door to door in some parts of town and offering people things that they've nicked in large quantities earlier in the day. So you're right to identify those three constituencies. Why do we think it has rocketed? But in many ways, they've always existed. So why has it gone so mad over the last 5 years? And does that tally with your personal experience, Cole?
Yeah, it does. And I think largely it's down to, you know, the cost of living crisis. It's all fueled by people not being able to, you know, in many cases, not being able to afford to live. And it's a choice between, you know, do I eat tonight or don't I eat tonight? Or, you know, that kind of thing.
Of course it is, because the addict figure probably hasn't gone up or down much. It certainly wouldn't have gone up exponentially over the last 5 years, unless I've missed something quite significant. But, of course, people who would never steal anything in their lives, but who are really on their uppers, might, the more on their uppers there are, become more susceptible to buying something that somebody else has stolen for a fraction of the price that they'd have to pay in the shop. So that explains an increase as well.
Exactly. And it's also like the cost of the stuff. The supermarket prices have gone up. We all know that. We've all experienced that. You know, and if you can buy some butter, you know, Lurpak from, or other brands are available, but if you can buy some Lurpak from someone in the pub for £3 that retails at £7 in the supermarket, you're going to buy it in the pub.
Yeah, of course you are. And that is what happens. It's a big part of it. How do you stop it then? I'm right, aren't I? The only way you stop it is by getting physical with people in the shop on a regular basis.
That is it. You know, that is the only way that it can be stopped at the door is, you know, the amount of legislation and sort of personal safety that you have to put in place. You know, shoplifters know that they can kind of get away with it if they make enough noise, if they make a scene, that, you know, people are going to back off. In the shops, you've got to remember that, you know, a lot of people that work in retail, you know, it's minimum wage for a lot of people. And, you know, are you going to put yourself in harm's way? I'd rather come home to my family at the end of a shift.
I'd rather you did, personally, as a customer. Much
exactly,
rather.
Than put myself in a position where, you know, I could potentially end up in hospital for the sake of tin of beans.
You haven't told us where you work, so I can ask you this question, but you don't have to answer it. What is the sort of guidance from above? What is the company policy in your experience?
It's personal safety first. Yeah. So you never put yourself in harm's way. You know, the company won't allow anyone to put themselves in harm's way. And we're told to, you know, if we see it, there's certain people that work within the business that are trained to handle it, you know, upper management and right. various kind of departments that come in, to support in those spaces. But, you know, your general shop floor work, you have to, you know, it's all about putting no risk to yourself or anyone else.
I don't think anybody listening to this would want you to put, well, if they do want you to put themselves in danger, then you just say to them, well, after you, I'm not paid to protect the stock. I'm paid to look after the customers. And if you want,
exactly.
You know, and that's what you're there to do. I think that's a really important point that you make, because it's a bit lazy and knee-jerk, and I have a horrible feeling I might have been a bit guilty of it myself in the past, subconsciously, if not out loud, of just thinking, why don't they do more? Why doesn't Colin rugby tackle that gentleman legging it up Ashford High Street? And the answer is, why the fudge should he, you know? So whose job is it? Right. Mark Spencer's executive says it's the government and the police. And you sort of think, okay, maybe they could get all those cameras that Kemi Badenoch is cross with to do the, to stop all the shoplifters. They could get all the cameras that are cemented into the ground on roads and motorways that she thinks are a distraction from proper policing. She could get all them to start tackling shoplifters. Take care, Colin. A sparkling debut. I look forward to your second call. Steve's in Paisley. Steve, what made you pick up the phone?
Hi, James. Yeah, first-time caller, but, long-time listener, but big fan of the show.
Not remotely nervous. I think people should say that more. First-time caller, James, not remotely nervous. It's only you.
Maybe my voice belies that fact, but hey-ho.
Go on.
Yeah, so what I was just saying to the researcher was that, so my mum, she actually worked up until retirement for M&S, and this was down in Swindon. And so a few years ago, and they were, the policy at the time, so they didn't have any security or anything like that at all, but they always had shoplifters. And they were basically told, the staff were told that they had to confront them themselves to try and prevent lost to, yeah, lost to the company. And my mum being like a, you know, sort of 5'2", very small lady,
yes.
she wasn't exactly, didn't have the stature to stand up to these people, although she very much did, just because
really?
she's stubborn in the best of ways, I would say.
Exactly. Justice. She doesn't like the idea of people taking the mickey and walking away with stuff they haven't paid for. It's not fair on everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that happened, though, was that me and my siblings, we were all kept on telling her not to and just not to get involved. And one time, unfortunately, there was a shoplifter she stood up to, and she got punched very hard in the face and fell to the floor. And luckily, she was completely, well, aside from some severe bruising, was completely fine. But
yeah, but I bet she wasn't, though. I mean, it's going to have affected her as well, isn't it? As well as the physical side of things.
Yeah, I mean, it was from that point that she decided just not to get involved, which, I mean, I think is the best solution, really, for retail workers, because, well, they're not trained or paid enough to do it, sort of thing.
There is really only one route here that's coming out. I mean, certainly you could have a little bit more interaction with the police, but they're not exactly sitting around twiddling their thumbs all day, are they, at the moment, the police service? The government, what can the government do? Just put up posters saying, don't shoplift? The only way you're going to do this is to adopt the approach that football clubs were compelled to adopt and pay a large proportion of the costs of policing a project from which they profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think with supermarkets, it does, you know, the government can legislate all they like, but until the supermarkets, you know, I feel like they just need to hire private security teams that are actually trained and specialised in this. And I don't mean, you know, because there's some supermarkets security and, yeah, you probably wouldn't trust them to run a 100-meter sprint sort of thing, but
So I think we've done more on how we're going to fix it, which is quite straightforward, than we have on necessarily why it's rocketed so much. But maybe it's the same thing. It's chicken and egg. More and more people, whether they are suffering more or not, financially and economically, more and more people with a propensity to steal or to buy stolen goods, realising how relatively easy it is to steal. And that explains why it goes up, and it will continue to go up until the other end of that conversation kicks in, which is what you do to stop it, to which there is only one thing. With backup. So you need to stop it in the shop itself, and that would ordinarily also involve the police getting involved in the pick-up and arrest process afterwards. Anyway, enough of that. It's Mystery Hour after this.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC he won't sit back and allow children's safety online to continue to be compromised. Social media leaders have met with the Prime Minister this morning for talks in Downing Street. It comes midway through the government's consultation on an Australian-style social media ban for under-16s. Speaking to LBC, Sir Keir said complacency is not an option.
We want to know what they're doing now and what they are going to be doing. And I'm writing now to all of the CEOs to ask them to provide me with assurance of what they are doing already and what else they're going to do.
Ministers have insisted the UK supply chains are robust enough to deal with the impacts of the war in Iran. It follows reports that we could see shortages of chicken and pork if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed into the summer. Officials have drawn up contingency plans for a reasonable worst-case scenario, but the government stressed it's part of normal planning, not a prediction. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has refused to rule out an end to resident doctor strikes in England this year. Members of the BMA returned to work on Tuesday following their latest six-day walkout just before Easter. The British Medical Association has accused the government of moving the goalposts over its jobs and pay offer. Speaking to LBC's Nick Ferrari on Call the Cabinet this morning, Mr. Streeting said he will reinstate an offer of extra training places if common ground is found.
The strike that we saw last week cost the NHS £300 million. And that money has to be found from somewhere. And I don't see why other groups of staff or other patients and services should be paying the price for resident doctors' actions. And the BMA knew that.
If peace breaks out, could they be reinstated next calendar year?
Of course. Of course. I wanted to work with the BMA.
The waiting list for routine hospital treatment in England has fallen for the fourth consecutive month. An estimated 7.22 million treatments were waiting to be carried out at the end of February. That's down from 7.25 million a month earlier. And the Duchess of Sussex has claimed that she was the most trolled person in the entire world for 10 years. She was speaking in Australia in support of the country's social media ban for under-16s. Meghan and her husband Prince Harry are on a four-day tour of the country as non-working royals. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 53 at 10,612. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK going into the afternoon. Heavy downpours possible in the north, a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They've got bags of offers and promotions kicking about.
Like what?
For a start, all them weekly promotions.
Oh, yeah?
There's the Loyalty Club, the BetVictor Predictor. And in Casino, they've got the Spinners Club, which is a weekly slot thingamajig. And you can also order food to your door.
Can you?
Oh, no, hang about. That's a different app.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Is it? What? Already? 4 minutes after 12 on a Thursday. Time for your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. Yes, I know you don't have a radio dial anymore. Please don't at me to tell me that you have a radio. I told you yesterday. But it's very frustrating when I go off on tangents. In fact, I started yesterday's show on a tangent, from a tangent, and went immediately to a tangent. But I use radio dial as a figure of speech. If I dropped the word dial, it wouldn't feel the same. The sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio. It would actually sound fine, wouldn't it? Should we do that, Keith? Should we drop dial? You might be listening on the app, I suppose. Not available anywhere else. The sort of satisfaction not available anywhere else. Well, that's just not true, though, is it? Because, you know, I can think of mildly more satisfying things than listening to Mystery Hour, but they're not on the radio. Anyway, that's it, really, as far as the introduction goes. Code 345-6060973 is the number that you need if you want to join in. If you're not familiar with this feature, where the hell have you been? What do you think I do this for? My own amusement? I was away last week. I'll give you that. But it's kind of like the radio equivalent of notes and queries. Someone rings in with a question, someone else rings in with an answer, except it's much funnier than that, and we usually get the answer much more quickly than you would if you were writing to a website or an old-fashioned newspaper. My favourite contribution of the week wins a Mystery Hour game. There are now two Mystery Hour games, and I mean that. It's not two versions of the Mystery Hour game. There are two Mystery Hour games. There is the Mystery Hour board game and the Mystery Hour Travel Edition game. Tin a tin. And that they are, I mean, look, the best way to describe or to prove the fact that they're different is that many people have bought both and are utterly delighted with both of them. That's not an opinion, it's counting. But my favourite contribution of the week will win one, okay? Terms and conditions are at lbc.co.uk, because that's a proper grown-up radio competition, that is, apparently. If you want to find out more about the game itself, it's got its own website. If you just go to mysteryhour.co.uk, games plural, you can find out more there. I shall solve the mystery of the missing word round. Quite a few of you got this, which probably means you've seen the story, although you may have worked it out for yourself. End of the line for Escobar's renegade blank blanks. The answer is, would you believe, Cocaine Hippos. Do not text me to say, is that a sequel to Cocaine Bear, James? I made that joke yesterday when we discussed doing this on the programme. Keith made it today because he wasn't party to yesterday's conversation. It is a very obvious joke. And no, Cocaine Hippos is not yet a sequel to the rather splendid cinematic entertainment, Cocaine Bear. Thank you. That does exactly what it says on the tin, that film, I can attest. So it's an incredible story. Pablo Escobar, the drug lord, got some hippos, right? Sounds like the beginning of a joke, this. It's not. He got four hippos because he was so rich he didn't know what to spend his money on. So he woke up one morning, old Pablo Escobar, and he thought, oh, God, I want to buy some stuff, but I've got everything. I've got that, I've got yachts, I've got Bentleys, I've got shoes, I've got all the star bars a man can eat. What else can I buy? I know, he said, I'll buy some hippos. He bought four hippos, one male hippo, three female hippos. After he got taken out by the cops in 1993, they kind of just went free and started breeding. Guess how many there are now? Actually, seriously, guess. So 1993, four hippos go wild. 30 years later, 33 years later, guess how many hippos there are now? Over 200, they reckon, about 200 hippos just roaming around Colombia without so much as a by your leave. And the announcement this week is that they're going to take them out. How many kilos of grass do you... Guys, it's like its own self-contained mist. And there was me thinking that I wouldn't be able to do a whole mystery hour on my own if the phones weren't working. 50 kilos of grass is the answer. How many kilos of grass do you think a hippo gets through in a day? 50. 50 kilos. They're very hungry, hippos. 50 kilos of grass in a year. They also, I think, are quite bad for the native manatees and river turtles because they compete for food and habitat. And if you're competing with a hippo, you're losing, aren't you? You're competing with a hippopotamus for food or habitat or anything, really, except, I don't know, something that you need quite small fingers to pick up. But generally speaking, if you're competing with a hippopotamus for anything except cocktail sticks, you're going to lose. You're not going to win that battle. Shall we just start Mystery Hour now? Yeah, I think we probably should. There are two phone lines free. 0345-6060973 is the number that you need. That's it, really. We're just, if you don't know what it's all about, just listen. You'll soon work it out. And if you hear somebody else ask a question to which you do know the answer, then you know what to do. Give us a call. Melissa is in Edinburgh. Melissa, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Melissa.
I've always wondered, James, why you always ask the first person whether it's a question or an answer. Have you ever had an answer?
No, I don't like to be presumptuous. This is the short answer.
My question is, why do cats like to sit on mats or mat-shaped things or little small kind of areas places they could go? Why do they always go there?
So we don't really have... We've got lots of cats, but not a lot of carpet in our house. Do they sit on mats and things even if there's carpet around? I can't remember.
Yes.
So it's not absolutely. It's not a question of being warmer than the tiles or the floorboards.
No. And even when it's, you know, clearly uncomfortable where they might be sitting. So, for example, I've got kids and we've got Lego and Duplo and all that kind of thing. And one of our cats there was like a A4 piece of paper on top of the Duplo. And
really?
She still went and sat on that area because some kind of compulsion makes her feel that she needs to
sit there. So it doesn't even need to be textile. It can just be something small and self-contained.
Yeah.
They would rather sit on it.
Yeah. And okay. It's always been a mystery as to why they feel compelled to do that.
Yeah, I quite like that. I mean, everybody who's got cats will recognise this pretty much, I reckon. My dog does it as well, actually. She prefers... If I'm sitting on the sofa and my jumper is on the sofa, I've left my coat on the sofa, the dog will curl up on the coat or the jumper on the sofa. Now, that might be a warmth thing, because it's sort of a tiny bit of wrapping around her and a tiny bit cosier. But a cat on a mat in a hat where it sat... Is your cat fat?
That
doesn't make sense. It's not for reasons of warmth or anything like that. Okay, you're on. I mean, maybe it's some sort of evolution linked to safety and stuff like that. Thank you, Melissa. 11 minutes after 12 is the time. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour is now underway. I should write that down, shouldn't I? Cats, mats, Melissa. There we go. Talat is in Harrow. Talat, question or answer?
Hey, James. It's Talat. It's a question.
What did I say?
You said Talat.
Oh, Talat, I said.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, Talat. T-I-L-A-K.
T-I-L-A-K. I didn't even get close, mate. You got a name with five letters in it, and I got two of them wrong.
I'm sorry about that.
On the other hand, I got it 60% right.
Yeah, there you go. Always positive.
Carry on, Talat.
So I was lucky enough to go on my honeymoon a few weeks ago, and my wife and I checked in our luggage at our departure airport, both at the same time. And then when we got to our destination, my luggage came out first.
Yeah.
And I had to wait for quite some time before my wife's luggage came out. It came out near the end. And I was thinking, well, what happens in between checking my luggage in, both at the same time, and then getting it at complete different times at the destination airport?
I'm trying to think if it's obvious. I just sometimes take a moment to cogitate.
Yeah.
whether it could be. Were they roughly the same size, your pieces of luggage?
Exactly the same piece of luggage, exactly the same size. The weight's ever so slightly different. But
I don't know. If this happens to everybody, then it's a big mystery. But it's not impossible that they're loading up a trolley and you're at the top of one bit and then she's at the bottom of another bit. And so then when they're unloading the trolley, they chuck yours on. And then they chuck all the ones that are on top of hers on before they get to hers again. Oh, look at that. I've done some physics. Do you understand what I mean?
I understand. I mean, if there's someone out there that has worked on the luggage line or maybe can verify your...
How do you know I haven't?
I
would have told you many, many, many times, wouldn't I? Even if I'd only done it for a fortnight in 1986, career as a builder. How can two items of luggage of similar size deposited at exactly the same time end up so far apart on the carousel at the end of the journey?
Exactly that.
03456060973 is the number that you need. 12:13 is the time. I have two phone lines free. I don't like having free phone lines on Mystery Hour. I don't really like having free phone lines ever. But on Mystery Hour, it feels like a personal affront sometimes. So if you've tried to get through and failed, try again. If you've tried to get through and succeeded and not being put through for selection, don't try again. Because you just clog it up for everybody else. Thank you, Tillack. Most definitely not Talat. Johnny's in Manchester. Johnny, question or answer?
I have a question.
Carry on.
When they get a new or sort of senior people...
Oh, your phone line's gone a bit weird. I don't know why. Try again. Start again.
Is it?
Yeah.
When they get a new pope or cardinals or sort of senior members of the Catholic Church and they move to the Vatican...
Yes.
Do they have to go through normal immigration procedures? Do they have to get like a... like that, or is it...
Well, you went again. There's some missing words. This is like a sort of weird puzzle. Did you say visa?
Yeah, any kind of work visa or immigration procedures.
Is this part of the decision-making process for you? Would this affect your decision whether or not you're going to put in for one of these gigs or not?
I mean, I wasn't considering it, but, if it gets me an EU passport back, I'll consider it.
That's not a bad idea. Well, the Vatican is a country, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can have... whatever rules they want, I presume.
Yeah.
So if you're Pope and you live in it's a really good question, this. Well, I mean, because you haven't got freedom of movement, have you? So if you became Pope
because they have the Euro and they're technically part of...
No, because he's American, so there's no freedom of movement. If he was Polish, like John Paul II,
exactly.
Then he'd just have freedom of movement. I can go wherever I want.
The previous one was Argentinian. Presumably they've got to have some kind of...
So what is the... what's the deal? I mean, is the Pope the head of state in the Vatican?
Yes.
Well, I mean, there's your answer.
But, I mean, the cardinals aren't.
No, that's also true. So what would you do? Do you need him? What are the immigration requirements if you're a senior Catholic cleric who is not from the European Union? Do we even know whether the Vatican is in the European Union or not?
I think it's not technically because it doesn't qualify as a theocracy. Because EU members have to be democracies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The Pope's elected. That's what the smoke's for.
It is the only country that's not an EU member that can produce its own euro coins.
Is that right? Well, you know a lot about this. I'm surprised you don't know the answer to your own question. If you're a cardinal and you're from Birmingham, and have you ever met a cardinal, Johnny?
Hmm?
Have you ever met a cardinal?
I don't think so. Unless he was in disguise.
I have. I met Cardinal Basil Hume. You don't sound very impressed. Or possibly the line went down.
It did wobble a little bit, yes.
I didn't kiss his ring. That would have been weird. But it is a tradition in the Catholic Church. I find out for you. So if you are from Birmingham and you are appointed cardinal, and therefore you have to move to Italy in the first instance, and the Vatican City more pertinently, but do you need any visas? What are the work... I mean, who's going to know this? I'll tell you what, if you ring in and you're a cardinal, you can have a Ray Liotta with knobs on. Thank you, Johnny. Does the Pope need a visa? Or indeed other cardinals to work in countries? Has it be diplomatic status, maybe? I don't know. I'd love to know now. And not just because I'm Catholic, but because I'm curious. I'm a curious
this
Catholic.
Is LBC.
Cancer doesn't care about childhood. It doesn't care what they miss out on or how much you want to protect them. But we do. At Great Ormond Street Hospital Charity, we fund life-saving research, vital family support, and the special things that help seriously ill kids be kids until no childhood is lost to cancer. Join us. Search GOSH Charity.
Dreaming of a new kitchen? Getting started couldn't be easier. At Wix, you can begin planning your new kitchen with our design consultants. Simply arrange a free home measure or an in-store design consultation. Book your free kitchen design appointment and turn all your ideas into reality at Wix.
How about Specsave ears?
Not sure.
Do you get it? Specsave ears?
Yeah, but no.
Oh, okay. Specs, and we also do hearing two savers.
Think about it. Should have gone to Specs and we also do hearing two savers. Can't see it catching on.
Okay, so we're saying Specsavers do eyes and ears. Senses savers.
Technically true.
Yeah.
But actually terrible.
Oh.
At Specsavers, we're hearing experts too, and have been for over 20 years.
Oh, should we just stick to Specsavers then?
Yeah.
Book a free hearing check today.
Mystery Hour on LBC.
With Vauxhall, proud partner of Team GB.
It is 12:18. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Why do cats like mats? I love the idea, particularly if you're one of the people that's discovered this show in the United States of America in recent weeks, in which case you are most welcome, and thank you for all the kind words that you say. But if you're tuning in looking for some coruscating analysis of the international situation, and you just heard me say, why do cats like mats? Do not adjust your dial. This is a very different hour of the week. Out of the 15 hours that we spend together, this is the silly one, or at least the silliest, and it's always silly. Why do cats like mats? And it doesn't involve warmth. They will sit on a piece of paper, a square piece of paper, rather than on an empty floor. How can your luggage, when it's checked in at the same time, end up so far apart? And does the Pope need a visa? Or indeed his cardinals? Do they need visas to work in the Vatican City? If you're suddenly plucked from the middle of Argentina or Chicago and taken an appointed pope, you know, in other lines of work, you'd have to get employment permissions and visas and things. Do they need to? I'd want to know the answer to that. Matthew's in Wimbledon. Matthew, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
So, why is the bottom buttonhole on men's dress shirts always horizontal when the rest are vertical?
What do you mean by a dress shirt? You mean a fancy pants, dinner jacket?
Yeah, the kind of thing you'd wear in formal office attire or at a wedding. The kind of thing you button up down the middle.
I don't like it when there are menswear questions that I don't know the answer to, because that is that's my path not taken. That was my career that would have been if I hadn't got into journalism. I think.
Well, I was half expecting you to just come out with it.
Well, I'm just examining in my head whether you're 100% right, because one possible answer is that back in the day you would have worn studs,
right,
for the upper buttonholes, but you wouldn't have worn studs all the way down. So the only one with the horizontal buttonhole would be the part of the shirt that was tucked into your trousers.
That makes sense.
Well, it makes sense in terms of accuracy, but not explanation. It doesn't. I mean, why would it make any difference if the one tucked into your trousers was horizontal or vertical?
Because in daily use, it's sort of just irritating. Yeah. I mean, men button up their shirts without looking, and you go from top to bottom without looking flawlessly, and then suddenly you reach the bottom button, and it's all different. It irritates me.
Yeah. It irritates me now.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased.
Because you have the flat bit on a good shirt. I mean, it's the days of this being kind of fairly de rigueur along behind us, but you have a sort of flat, starchy bit on a dress shirt. And then you have more buttons beneath that. And there may only be one button, but no, this isn't going to wash, is it? Because it doesn't explain why. Is it horizontal? All right, you're on. Yeah, why is the bottom button on a dress shirt horizontal when all the others are vertical? 03456. I mean, God, I could see the faces of the men, Matthew, that would have been able to answer this question in a heartbeat 30 years ago when I was strutting my stuff on Regent Street. But I don't know that any of them are with us anymore. Someone, we still have a decent tradition, don't we? Someone will know this. I might have to phone up my mates at McCangus and Wainwright in the city, some of the finest tailors you could ever hope to meet. I bet they'd know. Right, you're on. 22 minutes after 12 is the time. Jennifer is in Torquay. Jennifer, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on, Jennifer.
Okay, so my husband and I, we like to go out walking.
Oh, yes.
And he likes to walk roadside, just to make sure I'm on the inside.
Isn't that gallant?
Yes. But we want to know, so if we're next to a river and a road, which side should he stand?
This is one of my favourite questions ever. I mean, some of the biggest shysters that I ever came across in my media career were etiquette experts. We'd ring them up. They were making it up as they went along. Well, of course, you must put the cream on before the you must raise your little finger in the air when you're drinking tea. But obviously, there are etiquette codes, aren't there, that are established. For example, as I'm sure your husband does, when you're seated in a restaurant, you should be facing the restaurant, shouldn't you? You should be able to see who is coming and going, and because it's a more interesting place to sit, and the man should be sitting with his back to the restaurant.
Yeah, that always happens.
And of course, ladies first, going through the door. I don't observe that first one with Mrs. O'Brien, because I always like to know where the exits are when I'm in a restaurant, like Jack Reacher. I like to sit wherever, you know, in case I get caught, in case some smirsh operatives come in or some bad guys are there, I need to be able... But anyway, I digress slightly. So you're walking down the road.
Yeah.
Down a path. There's a road to your right and a river to your left.
Yeah.
In order to acquit his chivalrous duties... Where should your husband be standing to stop you, prevent you falling into the road or prevent you falling into the river?
Yeah.
I think it might be up to you, this one. What are you more frightened of, falling into a road or falling into a river?
A road, probably.
Yeah, I think that is probably what it's going to come down to. But if there is official etiquette guidance on this, Jennifer, we will find it for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's your husband's name?
Kurt.
Yeah. Very gentlemanly. Give him my compliments for his excellent, chivalrous, gentlemanly conduct. 24 minutes after. So I don't know why. I was slightly surprised that he was called Kurt. But anyway, there we are. Surrey is in Watford. Surrey, question or answer?
A question, please, James.
Yes?
The question is, and I'm not nervous. I've been listening to you for so long, but I can't believe I got through.
Well,
my
here
question
you are.
Is...
Maybe you should be nervous. Go on.
My question is, why is it you never see yourself as a reflection in your dreams?
What? How do you know? Just you don't. You don't know about anybody else.
I'm very self-conscious about myself, so I always wonder what I look like in my dream.
Yeah. Really?
You catch
yourself in a dream wondering what you look like?
I feel like I'm mentally thinking, what kind of state am I in?
But really?
I've never come across in my dream
the opportunity
or glass
to check.
Or reflection.
The opportunity to check. Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could just be you, but it seems unlikely, doesn't it? Have you heard that track on Ray's new album about, I'm thinking about being really self-conscious. I Hate the Way I Look Today by Ray.
That sounds like my anthem on most days.
It's a beautiful song. I think she's magnificent, Ray. But that's just so bizarrely, I was listening to it this morning, and as soon as you just said that, the song came back to me a little bit in my mind, that idea that you need to check out how you look all the time, and you can't do it in a dream. You can't... Why, so it's the question, why are there no mirrors in dreams?
Yeah, just why can't you see yourself in a reflection in your dreams?
I love it. Okay. I mean, if it's true, beyond you, then it is a phenomenon that we should examine. Thank you, Surrey. Did it live up to your expectations, your debut on the programme?
Oh, it did. I caught you with Gary Lineker, and it was one of the best nights of my life.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say.
Thank you for making my day.
Well, thank you for making mine, actually. Sorry, it was a top night, that, actually. It had very little to do with me, everything to do with Gary. And, of course, I knew there was something. As soon as Jennifer said Kurt, my brain went somewhere. That's why there was a pause, and I thought, why am I paused? And David spotted it. I should have just said, courteous Kurt. Courteous Kurt, courteous, courteous. Ah, dear. Thank you, Surrey. Max is in Petersfield. Max, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Max.
My question is, how long does it take cobwebs to decompose?
It's quite a strange bunch of questions this week, isn't it? I like them. They're all slightly sort of new and left field. Why do you ask this question?
I recently took some boards off of the side of a barn on my dad's farmyard, and all of the cobwebs were still there. I estimate them to be at least a couple decades old.
Inside the cavity, as it were.
In between, yes.
So no wind or rain. A spider can get in, but next to nothing else. Insects can get in, but nothing is going to disturb the cobweb. Well, does it stay there forever then? Why would it decompose at all?
Yes.
Human hair doesn't, does it? I don't think. Is that correct? Have I got that right? Or have I misremembered that? I probably misremembered. Of course it does. Otherwise, it'd be coffins full of hair, wouldn't there? All right, yeah. Cobwebs. Well, I mean, we don't know what they're made of. Do we know what they're made of?
I don't know.
We say silk, but I don't think it is silk. It's not silk.
Silk-like.
Yes, it is silk. Yeah, silk-like secretions. That was the name of my first band. Thank you, Max. 28 minutes after 12 is the time. Questions that need answers. This is the part of the week where we find out whether or not I can read my own writing. What the hell does that say? Oh, cats and mats. Why do cats like to sit on squares? Or not for reasons of warmth, but for reasons of something else. Why does luggage that is deposited adjacently end up bags apart by the time it comes back round on the carousel at the destination airport? Do popes or cardinals need any employment visas or similar? Why does the bottom button on a dress shirt, the bottom button hole, it sounds like a tongue twister this, doesn't it? Why does the bottom button hole on a dress shirt, why is it horizontal rather than vertical like all the other buttonholes on a dress shirt? If you're walking down a path which is flanked on one side by a road and on the other side by a river, and if, like me and Kurt, you are very courteous, what is the correct side to stand with your lady friend? Should you be shielding her from the danger of falling into the road, or should you be prioritising the danger of her falling into the river? And if you know the answer to that one, I'll give you the money myself. Why don't you ever see mirrors in dreams? I like that. I don't know if it's true. But if it is true, it's a brilliant question. And someone's just pointed out that cobwebs are made of cob. That's a very good point, Mick, that you make, actually, but I don't know if it's entirely accurate. How long does it take them to decompose of their own accord if there are no meteorological factors in play, like wind blowing it away or rain sort of dissolving it? 03456060973 is the number that you need. Matt Hewitt is here now with your headlines.
Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC he will act to curb social media for children, and it's a matter of how and when. LBC understands he's written directly to CEOs, including X's Elon Musk and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, to urge them to do more. The International Energy Agency says Europe could start seeing shortages of jet fuel by June due to the Iran war. It follows reports the country could run low on chicken and pork, but the health secretary's told LBC Britain won't have to ration fuel and medicines. And the head of the COVID-19 inquiry says confidence in vaccinations must be improved among people in deprived and some ethnic minority communities. The inquiry's report focusing on the vaccine rollout has been released in the last few minutes, and it praises the record time in which the jabs were made available. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK, heavy downpours in northern areas, highs of 11 to 17 degrees.
This is LBC.
Get back to school sorted in just one shop, because Georgia Asda has great value uniform from head to toe, all under one roof. Pick up a two-pack of stain-release polo shirts from just £3 and make sure you're ready for the first day of term. Whatever you need to be school-ready, bring it on with George, exclusively at Asda. Shop the George range now, in-store and online at Asda. Available at selected Asda stores and george.com. Delivery charges may apply, subject to availability.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know your furry friends get up to all kinds of mischief. Like when the dog scuffed that entire chocolate cake. All the time the cat tested his 9 lives from the curtain rail. Again. That's why we're here when it matters most, with fuss-free pet insurance policies, including unlimited video call access with First Vet. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
It's hard to concentrate when you're worried about your health.
It can feel like there's a wall between you and the rest of the world. Like you can't be fully present.
Hello, AXA Health. How can I help?
At AXA Health Insurance, we build our teams with people who care. So when you need us, we're here to support you. For cover that cares, search AXA Health Insurance. Pre-existing conditions are not covered.
Happy Meal just got a cosmic boost. Because the Super Mario Galaxy movie has landed in cinemas. And Mario hasn't come alone. There's a whole galaxy for your little ones to discover. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 4th of May, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy, while stocks last.
Mystery Hour on LBC.
With Vauxhall. Energising a better Britain.
A cob, as any fool know, is just an old-fashioned word for spider. So cobwebs are not made of cobs, they are made by cobs. So the question of how do they disintegrate or decompose remains live. Jake is in Wimbledon. Jake, question or answer?
The answer, James.
Carry on, Jake.
Right, to the luggage arriving at the destination, right. Big time apart, the possible explanation would be the partner's luggage had contained some item which was flagged on the X-ray machine.
Ah.
I don't know if you're aware that every luggage has to go through the explosive detection systems before on the boarding of the plane. So, yeah, if it's flagged, then the machine will send the image to the screener, and the screener takes some time to actually decide whether the item is the prohibited item or not. So they're going to clear the bag or alarm the bag, which will go in the process of the further to be checked.
And how many bags on average will be flagged out of, say, in every 10 bags, how many get flagged?
Around 20 to 25%.
Okay. that works then. And so while it is being checked, it's paused while the other bag carries on.
That's correct.
And so, because I think most people listening are going to have, it's very, very rare that your two bags come out of the carousel right next to each other.
Yes, well, they usually travel, you know, if they've been...
But they might be quite close, in which case they've gone into the thing and they've come out at the same time. But if there's a massive gap, then either my theory involving stacks or your explanation, which sounds a lot more plausible, involving the 20 to 25% of luggage that is paused and therefore is going to put a big gap. What are your qualifications, Jake?
The engineer working on those explosive detection system in the major airport.
Really?
Yes.
What does that involve?
Well, servicing them. Bear in mind, they're quite complicated devices.
I bet they are.
Quite big. You don't see them. Not that the small ones you put for their hand luggage, is that the big machines.
They're really, really big ones. How'd you get into that?
Well, I was a lecturer in the college, and I was lecturing the students who worked at that airport, and from that to that, end up working for the airport.
You thought you'd get into it. Wow. How many people are there in your line of work?
Our team, at 36.
Good grief. People. That's a huge part of behind-the-scenes work at the week. You'd expect
it is so, quite isn't it? Big, yes.
Fantastic.
It's quite important.
You're though. Telling me it's quite important. Have a round of applause. That's how important it is, Jake.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Jake. Lovely stuff. 12:35 is the time. Great answer. There you go, Tilak. It would appear that your wife was carrying some very dodgy gear on your holiday. Gary's in Bracknell. Gary, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Okay. I was out walking the dog this morning, and there was an Egyptian geese in the tree.
Goose.
And so my question was...
An Egyptian goose, yes.
There was Egyptian geese.
Goose.
There was multiples of them.
Well, you said an.
In the tree.
Yeah, you need to either say an, because you said was as well, which is there were Egyptian geese, or there was an Egyptian goose, innit?
Innit, James.
Go on, then.
Whilst I was walking the dog this morning,
yes.
There was Egyptian geese.
Were.
Exactly. So my question is,
yes.
Are there any other types of geese that nest in trees?
Goose. God, if I haven't annoyed you already, mate, I'm about to annoy you now. Ready?
Go on.
It's actually a duck.
Is it?
Yeah, an Egyptian goose is actually technically a duck, not a goose. And don't ask me what the difference is. Oh, someone's going to ring in now. What time is it? I bet someone gets on to say, what's the difference between a duck and a goose? I don't know what the difference between a duck and a goose is. Possibly the length of their neck, maybe. But the Egyptian goose is technically a duck, because I looked it up.
Okay, so are there any type of waterfowl?
Oh, well played.
No, that's going to be too wide, isn't it?
I don't know, is it? Do ducks ever live in trees? Have you ever seen a duck in a tree?
No idea.
No, I haven't either. Okay, so, I mean, maybe they all do.
Well, I think they're nesting.
Oh, a heron. I've seen a heron's nest in a tree.
Is a heron a waterfowl?
I don't know. What's the definition of a waterfowl?
James, can you do me a huge favour, please?
Anything. Stop talking, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not that. My son...
Yes.
My son, he's got moderate learning disability, 28 years old and autism, and you are his favourite person in the world. Can you say hello to Jack for me?
Oh, I can do more than that. Stay on the line and I'll record a little message for him or something like that.
Brilliant.
But in the meantime, live on Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien, not only am I going to say hello to Jack, but because as far as I'm aware, he's the only Jack who holds me in such high regard, I'm going to give him the highest honour that Mystery Hour can bestow. So this is for Jack.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it, they will come.
Okay. What was that?
Fantastic.
All right, mate,
thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, and give my love to Jack. 12:38 is the time. Can we just get Gary's details, and I'll just send a little video message to Jack as well, if that's not too tricky. John's in Ilford. John, question or answer?
Oh, hello, James. No, it's a question.
How can you sound surprised? You phoned a radio... What? I'd always, when people do that, I'd always, oh, hello, oh, fancy meeting you here, live on your own radio show that I just rang. God, John, Christopher.
You know, I've never actually spoken to you before, but many times I wanted to, but it's very difficult.
Right, here we are, you got there in the end, there you go.
Now, this does not apply to LBC or probably most radio stations, but... when adverts come on, if you're watching, no, let's say you're listening late at night and you've got a neighbour that's conscious of your noise.
Yes.
The programme is straightforwardly quiet, not quiet, the volume you want, and then the adverts come on.
Yes.
And then it blares out. What I want to know is, do the companies that put out programmes on TV, do they not have somebody that controls the sound at the point of transmission? Is there not some way of... Surely they must have measures to measure the sound that they're going to emit to transmitters, because it really does blare, especially with the adverts. And, of course, sometimes you'll get a busy... Not busy, I shouldn't say busy. Well, a war scene, and the volume just goes well up. But you need it to have it slightly up because you want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah. Does the neighbour get the ump?
Well, no, but I'm aware, because I have said to her, you know, is everything okay, Anne? And she said, no, your telly was a bit loud last night. And I said, well,
I knew it.
I'm not moaning. I'm actually wanting to know the technical. Because when you go in TV, you've probably got them on knobs everywhere. You twist it. But they
there's
don't
no way
control.
To talk about Keith.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know, I do.
Look,
I do.
You've got girls.
Yes.
They grew up, and you want them to sleep at night, and you can't really, you know, watching the TV, and suddenly it blares out.
It does as well, especially if you've not got carpets. No, I'm not even joking. I mentioned that earlier. If you've got floorboards or polished floorboards instead of carpets, the noise from upstairs to downstairs is worse than it is if you've got carpets.
No, you're absolutely true. But that's because the sound is absorbed. I don't know if you know that in the spring...
I'll tell you what, John, you're making up for not getting on before, aren't you?
Yeah, this is another... this is a good point. Where my daughter lives, she has a road at the back of her, but in spring, you don't hear the traffic. Well, that's obviously why, isn't it? Because of leaves.
Yeah.
But in the winter, God, there's a volume go up.
Anyway, all right. I've forgotten what the question was now. So it's audio mixing, isn't it? And I think things are recorded at different levels, so they go out at different levels. But whether or not there's anything they can do about it, I think this question, something similar has come up before. I don't think it's a sort of deliberate attempt to grab your attention because the adverts are on. Do you see what I mean? It's sort of waking you up. But, I have heard the phrase advert blasting before. So we want to know why it happens. That's all, John, isn't it?
Yeah, do they have sound measures and then they can just control it.
And they choose not to. So I'm going to do why does it happen?
Yeah.
Where it gets so loud.
I want to know. I know why it happens and you know why it happens.
Why does it happen?
Because advertising, so they want to get...
I don't know if that's true, you see.
We're talking being engrossed in a film, and you really want to watch it, and you're really interested. All of a sudden, the adverts come on, and you go into the loo to blow your nose, and then you can still hear the telly, but a lot louder. I know up there, upstairs, will probably say, oi.
Yeah.
And maybe your wife used to say to you, God, can you turn the telly down, James? Because the baby has just gone off to sleep.
She does it still now. I think it should be in the next room. She gets annoyed when I've got the telly on. All right, you're on.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Everything all right? And do you enjoy that? Was it worth the wait?
Well, it certainly was. I was quite surprised that I got on so quickly.
You do on Mystery App. Everybody says this. You've just got to be there when the phone line gets free. If it flashes up, it'll be answered in a moment. It's got to be somebody, hasn't it? It's like the lottery. It could be you. It could be you. And anything else you want to get off your chest, John, while I've got you?
This is the trouble. I've had these questions before in the past that I'd love to ask James about that. And
you never remember them. They're like jokes, aren't they? You could think, oh, that's a good joke. I remember that. I'll tell John that next time I see him. And then we see you and I can't remember the flipping joke. I can never remember the joke. You mind? There you go, John.
You're having a good day, aren't you?
I'm having a good day, John. You stay safe, mate. It's 12:43. Chris is in Fulham. Chris, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Chris.
Probably the least interesting answer, the shirt buttoning.
No chance, it's menswear. It's by definition interesting.
Like most clothing rules, they come from a practical point of view. So the buttonholes, if you think about the function, the weakest point of a buttonhole is the end.
Yeah.
So the pressure on the chest buttons are sideways, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're like me and you've got a manly chest, they are, not if you've got a sort of pigeon chest like Keith. And then you go down to the belly. The belly is going to be sideways.
And then you go down to a shirt that's designed to be tucked into trousers and the pressure is always downwards or upwards.
Because you're tucking it in.
Exactly.
So you're, this is a brilliant answer. So it actually means you're less likely to break it. If it had a sideways thing on it, then in the process of tucking it in, it would unpop. It would come out, or even tear,
or even just during wear,
or even tear.
The buttonhole would tear.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite answers in a long time. Qualifications?
15 years menswear design, 30 years in menswear formal wear design on
really?
Jermyn Street.
Really.
Yeah.
You're still doing it?
No.
Okay.
I've gone into restoration.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Restaurants. Oh, I'm loving it. Yeah.
Hang on, have you gone into restoration or restaurants, or are you restoring restaurants?
Restaurants.
Restaurants. So you said restoration then. I love that, from menswear into restaurants. That's it, that's both of my alternative careers, hospitality and retail. That's what I would have done.
With extreme forms of customer service.
Yes, exactly. And bizarrely, so is this, when you think about it, Chris. You don't sound convinced.
Your customer service?
Yeah.
Absolutely supreme, James.
Yeah, well, there you go. You see, thank you very much,
Has been for at least 15 years.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a fantastic day. A round of applause, applause for Chris. I love that. Only I was on commission, eh? It's 12:46.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
MPs reject a ban on social media for under 16, so what now? Health Secretary Wes Streeting says the NHS is on the mend. Is that what you see? And sex means biology. Still.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At Wickes, the Home and Garden event is now on. Save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £24, now £16. Shop today. Terms apply.
Do you ever feel like getting back under your duvet in the middle of the day? Ferroglobin is a great-tasting liquid formula with iron, which contributes to the reduction of tiredness and fatigue and normal formation of haemoglobin. Ferroglobin from Vitabiotics at Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You, the daddy of air conditioning. For over 15 years, Cool You have specialised in installing our fully internal aircon systems throughout London with no mess, no fuss and no external condenser. And from April the 10th to the 19th, come and meet me and the team at the Ideal Home Show, London Olympia. Cool You for a cool, comfortable home.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's...
My tip is...
Weight loss?
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. What would you like from your investing app? 6% interest on your ISA, a free share of your choice, or no commission on stocks and ETFs up to 100,000 euros per month? With XTB, you get all of the above all in one app. The XTB app. Get your free share and start investing with XTB today. XTB, where your money works.
Capital at risk. Investment values can rise or fall. Limited free stock availability. 2% ISA rate boost for 90 days. New clients only. T's and C's apply.
At Lidl, we're giving you 50% off a fruit or veg item on your next shop. Just scan the Lidl Plus app at checkout. And when you scan, you'll be in with a chance to win your whole shop back. Open Lidl Plus and start saving today. Lidl. More to value. 18 plus GB residents. Various prices available. Subject to availability. End 30th of 5th, 26. Full T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/lp-terms.
Mystery Hour on LBC.
With Vauxhall, proud partner of Team GB.
It is 12:49. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. I don't think we've got time for a recap. We want to get a few more answers on the board. Oscar is in Godalming. Oscar, question or answer?
It's an answer, James. Well done. You said Godalming correctly, not Godalming, which you have done on the past.
Oh, you spoiled it then. That was a lovely compliment, and then you spoiled it at the end with a criticism.
Oh, is it? Well, it's one to put on the board for later. Right, it's regarding the adverts being louder than the general programmes that you're watching.
Yes.
You were not too far off in the attention-grabbing thing. I think you dismissed that, but you might actually be too far from the truth. So in terms of the volume, if you were sitting in the control room and you were looking at volume going out, there's this thing called compression, which you would have on your mic as it reaches our ears via the various airways, whether it's digital or in the internet. And they would generally stick on most ads. A compressor goes and everything. And what that does is that almost, depending on how harshly you use it, it brings every sound and piece of audio within that clip in the mixing stage to as loud as it almost physically can go.
Oh.
So everything feels like a wall of noise. And this is only really... There was a thing in the 90s, funny enough, just in music, called the loudness door war, where when you didn't have to put analog records on vinyl, you suddenly had no headroom as to how loud your music was anymore. So Oasis very much took if you listen to something like Definitely Maybe from 1994 or What's the Story of Morning Glory, if you listen to other records of that era, they were not mixing them as loud as Oasis were, because the people, various other acts, but they realised you could get the headroom a lot louder because you don't have that limitation of a vinyl record can only hold this much. Very much the same when it comes to anything digital. Can you know that there is the complaint that you might have too much volume on everything now because digital can take volume, so why not increase the volume? And more or less, it is an attention getter. If you're watching a drama that was maybe filmed, I don't know, in the 70s or 80s, you are dealing with a sound mix that's very much... very much a sort of thing where it's like it was done on analog and therefore it's got ups and downs.
Oh, wow. So, John, it's more likely to be noticeable if John's watching an older film at night then.
Oh, absolutely. If he's watching something like, I don't know, All the President's Men, I don't know what that film is.
Well, he did mention war, so he might be watching Bridge on the River Kwai, for example.
Exactly, which very much would have been just done on analog tape and it would have had peaks and troughs. So if you looked at the frequency of all those sound effects, they'd have peaks and troughs, you know, like it'd be like a wave. Whereas if you listen, if they tried to do that film now, it would just look, so if you looked at it on the waveform, it would just be one big block.
That's really interesting. So, I mean, that's a technological explanation, but there is a commercial dimension to it as well, presumably, and that the advert makers want their stuff to be as loud as possible because then it is more likely to be noticed.
Absolutely. So you weren't altogether that off. I think you sort of dismissed that initially.
I did, I'm sorry.
Too far from the truth. Yeah. Unfortunately, now all adverts are more or less exactly the same volume, really.
Does it happen on the radio? Are the adverts louder on here than I am? I mean, that seems
not as much, no, right. Because bear it in mind, it's all the same delivering method. So if your chap does actually like watching older films that are sort of, you know, done of a certain era and the recording was analog and the mixing was analog and it was only designed to go through small speakers or even sort of primitive cinema speakers, it won't have been mixed that loudly. Now that everybody's got, you know, top-end audio and whatever they've got, whether it's their car or their home or their phone Bluetooth speaker, it's like, right, we've got that headroom, we'll use all the headroom.
Love it. Qualifications?
I have actually trained in sound mixing and audio mixing. I've done that for about 20 years, and also I've submitted voiceovers where you have needed to put a compressor on to be advert ready.
Marvellous stuff. Just excuse me for one moment. Keith, is that all to your satisfaction? Yes, it is. Marvellous. Carry on.
Yes, essentially that.
No, not you. Oh, I'm giving you a round of applause. You said lots. Well played. Great stuff. Nice one. Thank you, Oscar. And my apologies to everyone who was correcting me on the fact that it is actually deliberate. It's deliberate and not deliberate at the same time. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Andrew's in Chingford. Andrew, question or answer?
It's an answer to corroborate on something which was answered earlier on regarding the luggage.
Carry on.
Okay, it's not as technical as we're led to believe, because believe it or not, what you'll find is when you're loading the luggage onto the aeroplane, it's what they call visually compartmentalising.
Yeah.
And the best way to explain that is, have you ever played Tetris?
No, yeah, I have. I mean, that's the second best way to explain it, actually.
Right, okay. Right, so, for example, if you or someone in your party and you're both checking in luggage and they're both like L-shaped,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean they're both going to come off at the same time at the other end.
No.
Because what will then happen, as you build the luggage up on the aircraft, it might allow for a box shape or some more of a round.
Got it. So we need that in there, and that one will go there, and
that's
that one
right,
will go
exactly.
there. Yeah.
So even though you might have two which are about to come on the aircraft at the same time and they're both L shapes, one L will fit in, and then you'll have to wait until it's required elsewhere.
Yeah, got it.
And so it's as simple as that, believe it or not.
Qualifications?
I used to work in the industry, and I'm a frequent traveller, and I have lost and had damaged luggage several times, and that's why it's been explained to me many occasions as well.
Now, there's a little moment in this conversation that many other people would have picked up on, Andrew.
What's that?
It's when I said, that's the second best way of doing it.
And I was wondering what the first one was.
Yeah, but you didn't ask, did you?
I didn't want to jump ahead.
Fair enough. Do you want to know?
I definitely do.
Dry stone walling.
That's to do with building, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a dry stone wall. So if you speak to a dry stone waller, they'll have a big box of stones with them, and they're building a wall without any mortar or cement.
And it's all about the right size
stone fitting into the wall, you see?
Yes, it's
a better analogy than Tetris, because
I still think it's second to my Tetris
analogy. No, because on Tetris, it's all the squares of which the blocks are made up are of identical size.
Yes.
Whereas with suitcases, they are all different sizes.
Right, I think we're going to need to share an applause there.
No, I'm giving it. You can have it all. I just love something about dry stone walling that really tickles me at the moment. I don't know what it is, but this is for you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Done the adverts. We haven't done the duck or the goose in the tree. We haven't done the cobwebs or the mirror. We've done the roads and the buttons. We haven't done the Pope, but we have done. We haven't done the cat on the mat. That's sat. Lewis is in Putney. Lewis, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry
cobwebs.
Oh, yes.
So cobwebs is a biological...
Oh, we're going to have to sort that phone light out. We're going to have to get the sound mixer on. James is in Hartley in Kent. James, question or answer?
It's the answer to the waterfowl question. Do they nest in trees?
Marvellous.
The answer is yes, loads do, including Canadian geese. You want to be specific as well.
Really?
Lots of species. Mallards do as well.
Yeah,
Canadian geese will nest everywhere, but mallards will nest.
I mean, that needs to be quite a strong tree for a Canadian goose.
Well, yeah, they like the bowl in the middle of it.
Yes,
they can
exactly.
They can build nests in there. Although nick other birds' nests as well. They've been known to nick osprey nests, nest in those as well.
Gosh, really? I saw a sea eagle last week.
Do you know what?
What?
I used to live in Hampshire, and it's very well known for seagulls, and it's the only one of the few species of birds I've yet to see in the UK.
They're blooming big, aren't they?
They're huge. Well, they call them flying barn doors for very obvious reasons.
I didn't know that. So I saw a fledgling as well. Well, not a fledgling, one born last September as well.
All,
so
right.
I saw all three together. I know, I'm just digging in now. I saw all three at the same time. It was absolutely
glorious. Amazing.
I know, it was. It was incredible.
Do you want to know the difference between ducks and geese, or can't you be bothered?
No, I really want to know.
So basically, it's really straightforward. You were partially right when it's the neck size.
Oh.
So it's neck and beak size. Geese are herbivores and they tend to feed on the land. Ducks are omnivores and dabble in the water. And the most basic answer as well is geese honk, ducks quack.
Oh, of course they do. And an Egyptian goose is a duck.
You are right. Yeah, I'm very interested in that. Yeah,
thank you, man. Getting better all the time. qualifications?
Ex-zoo keeper for 30 years.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for James, please. this is from Phil. He said that when you said dry stone walling, you sounded just like Brexit hard man Steve Baker saying fast catamaran sailing, and I burst out laughing. I think I know what you mean. Dry stone walling. Dry stone, have we got it? Shall we see? Okay, let's just compare. So I go, dry stone walling.
Only the Conservative Party can stand for freedom and sort out the problems that we face.
What do you want to do if you're not an MP?
Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran sailing.
Virginia's in Bromley. Virginia, question or answer?
Hi, James. I've got an answer, I think.
Carry on.
It's about the lady who phoned about not seeing herself in
her
dreams.
Yes.
I dream an awful lot.
Do
and
you?
I often dream that I'm looking at myself in the mirror.
Oh.
And I realise I look completely different. My hair's...
Everyone looks distorted, apparently.
Hair.
There's some psychological reason for this. It's our subconscious.
Well,
really?
I've got short hair, and I often dream that I've got long hair, and I'm looking at it, and I think, oh, how lovely, I've got long hair. And then I wake up thinking, I must grow my hair, because it looks really nice, longer, I'll go longer again.
Yeah.
But I'll also dream that I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and my clothes are all wrong. I think that I've got dressed, like, really nicely and appropriately, and then I realise I've got really ill-fitting clothes on, or part of my underwear showing, or just something embarrassing, or to make you look
psychologically speaking, that sounds like possibly a degree of insecurity or something like that. You're worried about being embarrassed in public.
I'm desperately insecure.
There it is, you see. I've just analysed it.
Mental health nurse for 38 years. No wonder I'm insecure.
I've tried being a radio presenter.
Have you never dreamt you've gone out without your trousers?
Yeah, I have, actually.
I have.
Yeah. Well, you've dreamt you've gone out without my trousers. Virginia, qualifications. You dream a lot, really. There's not a lot you can say.
You know, I'm a mental health nurse of 38 years. I don't know if that's got anything to do with being
insecure. Yeah, we'll have a round of applause anyway. I'll tell you what, Virginia. Have a game as well. Do you want a game, a mystery hour game?
Oh, wow.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, James, lovely.
My pleasure. Stay on the line.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much as well. Just tell Eleanor whether you want the board game or the travel edition. It's in a tin.
Or a pair of your trousers.
Or a pair of trousers going spare. I do have that. So I don't have anxiety dreams like I used to have.
I used to have exam anxiety dreams every couple of years.
Yeah, same.
Then I've got my recurring dream of, recurring nightmare, really, it feels like, in the dream, not in real life, of being married to somebody I don't want to be married to.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Terrible.
It's a phone in that. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on our free global player on Catch Up. Download it wherever you get your apps. You can also listen to a range of podcasts coming up at 4 on LBC. It's Tom Sawbrick. But now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Fully clothed. Thank you very much indeed, James. At 3 today, some breaking news. Sex still means biological sex in law. More when we have it. At 2, Wes Streeting has told LBC the NHS is on the mend. Is your bit of it on the mend? All the Queen's Presidents, a new book. The book examines the late Queen Elizabeth's conversations with, and sometimes friendship with, US presidents and their wives. The author Susan Page joins me at 3:30. But I want to start with the impact and your thoughts on that vote in the Commons last night, a vote by MPs not to ban social media for under 16s. You can hear in a minute what Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, thinks of social media companies. And the Prime Minister tells LBC what he will do after that vote last night. I'll be joined in a moment by our political editor, Natasha Clark.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer has stressed to LBC it's a case of when, not if, restrictions on children's social media access will be introduced.
We're not a government that's going to sit back here. We're going to act, and therefore this has to be done.
But the Prime Minister was unable to say if there'll be a total ban. A consultation runs for another month. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark has just sat down with the PM.
He's been meeting with executives from Google, from X, TikTok, Snap and Meta this morning. I thought he did sound visibly frustrated. And according to some experts, this is the first time that he's met some of these social media firms in person.
The head of the COVID-19 inquiry says confidence in vaccinations must be improved among people in deprived and some ethnic minority communities. The inquiry's new report, focusing on the vaccine rollout, says the jabs have saved an estimated 500,000 British lives. But inquiry head Baroness Hallett says the payment scheme for the small minority of people injured by the jabs must be urgently reformed.
It is vital in the context of a whole population vaccination programme in which the state is asking people to be vaccinated in part to protect others, that people are adequately supported when side effects do occur.
The International Energy Agency says Europe could start seeing shortages of jet fuel by June due to the Iran war. It follows reports the UK could run low on chicken and pork. But the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, told LBC's Call the Cabinet Britain's supply chains are robust.
We are absolutely prepared and we do that contingency planning. The likelihood of us needing to activate these worst-case scenario plans is reassuringly low.
Pope Leo strongly criticised leaders who spend billions on wars and said the world was being ravaged by a handful of tyrants. It's after the US President Donald Trump attacked him on social media. A church minister has condemned protests about an alleged rape outside her church in Surrey, saying hate cannot drive out hate. A woman in her 20s is believed to have been attacked on Saturday in Epsom. A protest promoted by a former associate of Tommy Robinson was held yesterday to demand more information about the suspects. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 73 points at 10.633. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, a mix of sunny spells and showers for large parts of the UK. Heavy downpours in northern areas, highs of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Matt Hewitt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
We will be talking this hour about that social media ban for under 16s and the vote against it at Parliament last night. But let's go live to the Pentagon for a couple of minutes and hear what Pete Hegseth, the Defence Secretary, has to say about the war in the Middle East.
You are digging out, which is exactly what you're doing, digging out of bombed out and devastated facilities. We are only getting stronger. You are digging out your remaining launchers and missiles with no ability to replace them. You have no defense industry. No ability to replenish your offensive or defensive capabilities. You only have what you have. You know that, and we know that. You can move things around, but you can't actually rebuild. You can dig out for now, but you can't reconstitute. But we can. We are reloading with more power than ever before, and better intelligence. Even more importantly, better intelligence than ever before, as you expose yourself with your movement to our watchful eye. We are locked and loaded on your critical dual-use infrastructure, on your remaining power generation and on your energy industry. We'd rather not have to do it, but we're ready to go at the command of our president and at the push of a button. This blockade, which the chairman will detail this morning, is the polite way that this can go. Your energy is not moving and will not move, and we can do this all day. But it's not destroyed yet. Your energy industry is not destroyed yet. You like to say publicly, Iran, that you control the Strait of Hormuz, but you don't have a navy or real domain awareness. You can't control anything. To be clear, threatening to shoot missiles and drones at ships, commercial ships that are lawfully transiting international waters, that is
It's clear that Pete Hegseth, the Defense Secretary, U.S. Defense Secretary, is aiming the beginning, anyway, of today's conversation from the Pentagon at the Iranian leadership directly. He's normally giving us, the world, I suppose, an update on the situation as they see it, as they, the Americans, see it. It's the usual tough talk from him, saying the blockade is the nice way to send you the message that you're going to hand over your missile production bases and your nuclear capabilities. We all know, because President Trump and he, Pete Hegseth, have outlined it many times, the nasty way and the tough way and the much more murderous way and dreadful way. So we'll keep a listening ear across what he said rather than subject you to a full half hour of Hegseth. It'll be interesting to hear what General Kane has to say about the blockade and where it's up to at the moment. So we will keep a listening ear across that and bring you any important lines from it. But I'm joined in the studio by Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, who has been speaking to our own Prime Minister Keir Starmer this morning in light of that vote last night in the Commons on the social media ban for under 16s. Now, just quickly reiterate what happened there for people who might not have caught it last night.
Yes, so this is the second time that the House of Commons has rejected an amendment which came from the House of Lords. It came from Lord Nash, the former schools minister, and he wanted to make a change to the Children's Wellbeing in Schools Bill, which is going through the Commons at the moment, which would ban social media for under 16s. So now twice MPs have said no to that amendment. They voted it down. And you might be thinking, well, does that mean that the social media ban is never going to happen? The answer is no, it doesn't. It just means that Keir Starmer is in the middle of a consultation. He's thinking about whether he wants to do it. He's looking at all the evidence and he's basically not made up his mind just yet. So until they do, MPs have been told, let's vote this down and we will come back to it at some point. So I know that campaigners have been speaking to LBC repeatedly and they are really frustrated at the pace of change in this. Keir Starmer today has told us that he does expect to take action on social media for children. He said we shouldn't have to wait too long to do that. I think it will probably be at some point this year. I don't think it will quite be before the summer that this ban, if it does come into place, will come into action. He couldn't exactly tell me whether he would take action before MPs go off for their summer recess. But as you say, I was with him in number 10 today. He spoke to social media bosses this morning.